Sports. Spoken here.
Right now, Adam Hogue, Jared Payton, Mark Carmen.
The Beat is on.
You're 100% right.
This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
Good afternoon. Greatest day in Chicago history.
Today is?
I don't know. Q and Blue is pretty sweet right now.
Are you? Did you just steal that from me?
I did. I 100% did.
I tweeted it out there, so it's been out there for like a couple minutes.
Q and Blue.
Carm, you are 100% welcome.
Thank you, Adam.
I've been trying to get this trade done for you guys for pretty much a year now.
Last week you were pushing it, though.
Yeah, you know, look, the Cubs made the most sense all along. They just did. It's exactly what this team needed. You know, as recently as Thursday, I'm on the phone with Carm talking about the deal, and his record's below 500.
Like, why are you always like that?
The dude, just before today, he was 4-8 with a 4.69,
okay,
and he comes out today wearing the blue, goes 7 innings, he's out of the game, 3 hits, didn't walk anyone, didn't give up a run, struck out 12, his ERA after one start, 7 deep, 0.00, greatest pitcher ever, greatest trade ever. See, let's be hyperbolic to start the show. It's really
two extremes from you, man.
Well, I am a very, as Adam has tried to help me and others have as well, I'm a very scared to deal prospects guy. However, after about 2 hours of digesting the trade, and you think about it, 3.5 years of control. The guy is 28 years old. He's been healthy his entire career. You need pitching. It was the perfect trade for both sides.
For both.
And I think, like, moron baseball people or people that I would consider idiots and brilliant baseball people, like, everybody is together on this. It's just a good deal. I mean, I really haven't heard anybody say no.
That's why I never bought the idea that it couldn't happen.
Yeah.
Just because it's Chicago. Like, they just did not make sense when you have a really smart baseball guy on Theo Epstein on one side, you have Rick Hahn on the other, who's going to do everything he possibly can to get the right deal. Now, Rick Hahn, I think, has proven in the last, you know, since December, to be pretty stubborn about what he wants, which he should be.
I think he's probably doing that right now.
Look, sounds like Todd Frazier's going to Boston, but we've been told that for 3 days now. So what's the holdup? I mean, it's probably about one guy that he wants, and now I think Bob Nightingale mentioned earlier today on Twitter that maybe there's a package involving David Robertson. Maybe that gets another haul here if he can put those two guys together. So Rick Hahn's going to do this his way and get who he wants, and he finally did. And if from the Cubs, I mean, two single-A guys who don't fit your timeline here and your stud prospect here in Eloy Jimenez is an outfielder, you don't need him. Nope. You really don't. As good as he might end up being, you don't need him for this window of winning a World Series. You need Quintana.
Well, see, I want to take slight umbrage with this whole timeline thing because I look at the Cubs' timeline like it's at minimum a decade.
That's how far are you going?
I don't see why
not 108 years?
Why not 108 years of a solid timeline right now? Why does it? It's like this 3-4 year window. Well, hold on a second. They're
every
all going to be like 27, 28. And we don't need to get way ahead of ourselves here. But like, you are signing Chris Bryant, right? You are signing anybody else who you want to keep, right? You own all of Wrigleyville, right? You're going to have a hotel. You're going to have every damn rooftop.
Yeah,
I do not want to hear that they can't afford guys.
No, they're going to sign, just like the Blackhawks sign their core guys. The Cubs are going to do that.
Okay.
I mean, what they're not going to do is give Jake Arrieta $200 million because he's older and he's a pitcher. And it's just a different situation.
They've thrown out a couple olive branches, though, the Jake Arrieta way. We hope that Jake's back, and if it's not Jake, then it'll be somebody else. Like, they're not completely closing that door. Now, it's probably going to be too expensive,
it's
and it'll end up elsewhere.
Too expensive for that.
Well, we'll see, but I don't know if Arrieta is the guy.
What do you mean? But yeah.
I don't know if Arrieta is the guy that I would give the money to. But you're going to have to give it to someone. If it's not Arrieta, you're going to pay Johnny Cueto? You're paying someone.
Right. You're going to have to pay somebody.
I mean, you
can't. But the core guys, especially in the lineup, They're gonna be here.
I mean, get the Chris Bryant deal done, whatever it's gonna cost. And
I mean, I can't believe that Theo didn't just trade Chris Bryant for Chris Sale straight up.
Well, that really, Rick Hahn? That's your call? That's you're gonna have to give us Chris Bryant for Chris. Are you crazy?
You know what though? That sounds crazy, but is it? I mean,
it's really not that.
Regardless of the fact that obviously the Cubs wouldn't make that deal because we're talking about the MVP, but he's offering you the best pitcher in baseball. Shouldn't that return be Chris Bryant?
Yeah, but I mean,
best pitcher in baseball, MVP. That is actually kind of equal.
Yes,
now, it
equal,
doesn't make sense for the Cubs to do that deal, but just in terms of equal value, as much as people have laughed about that the last 3 days, it actually is a fair trade.
I can't agree. It was you're good.
You think Chris Bryant's better than Chris Sale?
There's no.
Okay, hold on. That's not. I'm talking
but
about.
But that's what we've been talking about. That's what Hogue just said.
But the value that they got for Sale was the top prospect in the game, which is a great acquisition for Rick Hahn. But it wasn't the guy who had already run Rookie of the Year and had led you to the playoffs in 2015 and then was about to win the MVP.
Right, but Moncada wasn't it. You also got one of the top pitching prospects in all of baseball and a couple other guys that are supposedly pretty good, too.
Right, but Chris Bryant was a crazy ask. If you wanted
it's crazy because it doesn't fit. Obviously, the Cubs are not trading Chris Bryant. But in straight up value, it's actually equal.
So hold on. If you had
straight up,
okay. If you had every major league team right now and you could draft, you could have Chris Bryant or you could have Chris Sale. What percentage of teams, if any, are taking Chris Sale?
It totally depends on what you need.
I'm saying you're starting a team from scratch.
Oh,
Hogue, be careful now. He's switching this up on you.
Yeah, I know. I probably would.
I mean, you can make an argument for Chris Sale.
It would probably be Chris Bryant.
One of them's not an all-star this year.
One of them's a lot younger. One of them is.
I mean, the youth is probably why you go Bryant.
Yeah.
He's already won the MVP. I mean, he's
Chris
just.
Sales. Yeah, and Chris Sale's going to win the Cy Young this year.
Unreal, man.
Okay, but you're talking about a guy that plays third, first, left, right, center, can hit anywhere in the order, is kissing babies, walking grandmas across the street. I mean, KB is just a special individual. I love KB. I'm a huge guy. Maybe
and you should.
I love KB too. First of all, the deal wouldn't make sense, but just thinking about it, I mean, look at today though. Look what starting pitching does. I mean, to me, that's why it's so crazy. If you have a guy like Chris Sale and you have other pieces around, then you never really know. Look what happened to him on the South Side, Hogue. Sorry, man. I'm so sorry.
About what?
I'm looking forward to the future for you, man.
It's getting tough. It
looks bright.
It's looking tough to watch right now.
It's hard, but it's bright, though.
Like, today, it wasn't even a question. I'm watching Quintana pitching for the Cubs when they're playing up against each other.
Okay, but let's have that conversation that we started yesterday. Hogue calls in on the show, 312-981-7200. Now, if you're a White Sox fan, that you've actually seen it in action, Q in blue. You can speak to this here. I mean, what is that's got to hurt. I would think it's got to hurt. You can't be that mature.
I thoroughly enjoyed today. It was awesome watching Quintana just mow down the Orioles and pitch for a team.
You're less of a diehard.
He had a 4-0 lead by the time he took the mound in the second inning.
That's incredible.
I mean, Quintana must have been in heaven.
He was, I'm sure.
My question is, are other White Sox fans doing the same thing? Are they turning over to watch Q in blue?
Yeah, so what was unfortunately, after I called in, I wasn't able to really listen to the rest of the show. What was the rest of the response you got on that? Did people agree with me?
It was, I don't think that everybody had digested it yet. We didn't get a ton of people that jumped on either way. So it just kind of sat there.
I just find it hard to believe that there's going to be White Sox fans out there rooting against Quintana. Basically rooting for him to fail.
I don't know about rooting against him. And by the way, Anthony Rizzo has hit his seventh home run. Has hit a solo shot to make it 7-0. As Chris Bryant's gone deep today, his 19th, make that a 2-run shot for Anthony Rizzo. My bad. So 8-0, top of 9. We keep you up to date when anybody scores right here on 720 WGN.
A sweep of the Orioles.
I mean, can they look any better?
No.
Outside offense. Of blowing an 8-run lead on Friday night and making that would have been like the season would have been over if they lost that game?
Jose
Quintana fixed the Cubs.
The Cubs are not going to lose the rest of the year.
The Cubs might not lose the rest of the year.
Both you guys, slow down, please.
They're going to Atlanta. They're going to sweep the Braves, and they're going to come home and take out the Cardinals. Then the White Sox are coming here, and then the Brewers. It's, I mean, this is a, I don't know. Let's go to baseball expert Dan Long. Will the Cubs lose again all season long? Dan Long.
I'm going to go with no.
That, see, it's just it's a fact. It cannot be argued against that the Cubs are going to. Hey, you know what's obvious, though, Dan, JP, about this man over here?
What about him?
Mark Harmon.
Oh, no.
Love that guy.
Anything he may have said about, you know, just chilling the season because the Cubs won the World Series.
Oh, such a lie. So outside myself.
If anyone listened to our show last Sunday,
oh yeah,
which
I
was
remember.
Cubs panic, are they going to win again the rest of the year? Now they're not going to lose the rest of the year. This guy's riding the highs and the lows, just like I knew he would, World Series or not last year. It's back.
It
because
is.
And it should be. It's July. You have a team that should win the World Series. Or I don't know about should, because the Dodgers and Astros are pretty good. But they should be there. They should at least be in the NLCS this year against the Dodgers. You know, you should be living and dying every pitch.
Philly 5, Milwaukee 2, top of the sixth.
You should be scoreboard watching the Brewers every moment.
Come on. Come on, Philly. We'll take you getting one up at Miller Park. 312-981-7200. Would love to hear from Sox fans. I'm not saying you're rooting against him, but I'm also I'm having a hard time believe you're rooting for him.
Absolutely.
I would have to say you're rooting. I think you are rooting against him.
Yeah, it's the Cubs connection.
I mean, I am trying to be professional media guy and not fanboy, but I'm not going to be rooting for Eloy Jimenez unless I get hired to work for the
White
Sox.
That's different, though. Quintana was a. It's a different situation. Quintana was just an absolute pro for 6 years who never got the run support. You just wanted to see him, both him and Sale. I so many years, I'm just like, these guys should be pitching in the playoffs.
I know.
They're too good. You have a – this is – if you're any other team in baseball, these are the two guys you want pitching game one and game two. And it's like this team had it. They had the top two guys, and yet they couldn't win. They could not even get sniffed the playoffs. It was so frustrating. So for Quintana to go to a team across town, he doesn't have to move. His family, it's right here. He's got a perfect situation. I'm all for that. I want to see him have all the success in the world this year.
Let me tell you something. Carm, you can learn something from this guy.
No doubt.
There's one thing about you that I respect the most is that you live and die, but you're honest. Like, he's honest. Most fans aren't honest, and guys that I'm around or talk sports with, and just to hear you say that, because you got passionate when you started talking about your former two pitchers.
You're talking about Adam.
Yeah, not you.
What's the lack? Where's my lack of honesty?
I mean,
I want to be. I feel like I'm super transparent here.
No, it's not. I've seen you on two extremes. I saw you last Sunday. You were like about to jump off the cliff, and then today you're telling me that this Cubs team is never going to lose again.
Okay, but what sane person didn't want to jump off a cliff after last Sunday? They gave up 10 runs in the first inning. The Lester on the postgame show, all he said was want to get away. It was like Southwest Airlines. It was unbelievable. Just want to get away. We got to get away. Everybody's got to get away. And then Theo saves the season. Again.
Rick Hahn saved your season.
He did. God bless him.
Hey,
I love that.
Yes.
Guy.
Couple things here. First of all, does anyone know my password? I can't. I completely forgot my password. I can't log in on the computer.
Adam Hoag 23.
If anyone can call in and give me my password, that would be appreciated. Also, before the show is over today, we are going to be giving away 4 tickets to the sold-out Adler After Dark at Adler Planetarium this Thursday, July 20th. This is a sold-out event. The only way to get tickets is by listening to this show. We're going to give them away. I'm going to be there, and we're going to have a really cool discussion with a Northwestern University researcher about where sports and science come together. I'm really looking forward to this, and these are sold-out events. It's an adult-only thing, and the only way to get tickets is by listening to this show.
That's kind of cool.
That's what we do for you on a Sunday afternoon. 312-981-7200. Would love to hear from baseball fans both sides of town here. Play ball. Celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, and so much more. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com today. Ton to do on the program. We will get a little further deep dive into the Pacquiao, the Mayweather-McGregor bout, and also just a ton of baseball on the show today as the Cubs and Sox did business, and now Quintana has pitched for the Cubs. Q in blue on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Hope you're having a great weekend. Congrats to my softball team for eking out a 10-8 victory today. Big win. Big win. Always want to promote the product here. So, Cubs game's still going on, but we are talking about it because, come
and
on.
I still can't remember my password.
That's unfortunate for you.
This is big.
Get buckets 23.
Get buckets 23?
What is Adam Hogue's password? 312-981-7200. We'll take text line answers on that. Do the best we can.
I can't read the text line. I can't log in.
I got you over here, buddy. I got the text line up. Just, from the text line, by the way, 847 texting as a life. As a longtime Sox fan, I am rooting for Q in blue to help turn around the Cubs season for Mitch. Thank you, Mitch. I continue to be amazed. I really, really do. Let's get Mike in here on 720 WGN, who I think has props for both Theo and Rick Hahn. What's up, Mike? Welcome to WGN.
Hey, I thought I'd bring up a couple of things here. You know, when Theo took over Boston, he had a lot of talent to start with. And then when you look at when Theo came to the Cubs, he broke that team down and really put it together. And I thought the one person that you can't give enough accolades to is Jason McLeod, the guy that's the head guy for their minor league and for the draft. Now when you look at Hahn, I got to say this. When you look at the Sox this year, holy smokes. I mean, have they brought some players in? Heck yes, they have. And you know, I can't remember which paper said this today, but think of this just for a second. It said, you know, you can't just do it on draft choices. And, you know, they need to sprinkle a couple other guys in there. And last, I'll say this. You know, look at how the model works for Theo in Chicago. And people make similarities to Pittsburgh and Kansas City. But nobody tore down a team like Theo did and built it up to a World Series in that amount of time. And I think there's a huge amount of accolades due to Theo. And for the White Sox fans out there, I really hope Hahn can do it. It looks like they're on the right path.
No doubt.
And hopefully I'd like to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Appreciate you. I build a statue right now for Theo.
Yeah, I mean, I was just thinking about that before the show, about how you look at what Theo did in breaking everything down, and that even teams in this city are okay with breaking it down and trying to build it back up again. The only thing is making sure that you have the right people in place to be able to build it back up. But I've always had a lot of respect for Rick Hahn. I love the fact, even though I'm a Cubs fan, I love the fact of seeing what's going on the South Side. You just gotta, you know, the hardest part is waiting. It's the hardest part.
Yeah. It's going to be a painful couple of years for the White Sox, but at least, you know, you have a light at the end of the tunnel. I think Sox fans, Adam, you can speak to this better than anybody else here. I think Sox fans feel a whole lot better with where they're at. And you look at, like, with Theo, look, they made a very wise trade for Jake Arrieta. They traded Scott Feldman, who was having a borderline career year for him in the first half. They deal him for Arrieta, who was 20-25. You don't like record? Okay, how about ERA? 5.46, 69 appearances for Baltimore.
Damn.
Right? He was. And then he comes over here, goes 63-28 with a 2.76. Now, that's a brilliant trade, but you can't there's no way.
No.
There's a lot of luck there. Like, there's
I mean, we talked about this a lot after the Cubs won the World Series and even this spring. The 5-year window or timetable was a bad timetable. I mean, they hit it, but really, when you look back on it, how really lucky they got.
Yeah.
And not that it wasn't eventually going to happen, but just the amount of luck that went into it, including a rain delay in Game 7 of the World Series, like the way that whole thing played out, it's amazing. It really should never have been a 5-year timetable. It should have been a 6-year timetable at minimum, but they did it, and it speaks to the job Theo did, and Theo certainly had none of the assets that Rick Hahn has starting this rebuild for the White Sox.
That's true, and every move they hit on, every move they made, they hit on. It was incredible. We're going to draft Chris Bryant. We're going to trade for Jake Arrieta. We're going to trade Jeff Samardzija for Addison Russell. We're going to draft Ian Happ. We're going to draft Kyle Schwarber. We're going to keep Javi Baez and not sell low on him. Yeah. I mean, literally everything they did. I mean, Rizzo was in the fold.
Do they have a bad first-round draft pick?
No, they don't.
I don't think they have a bad one.
They don't. which is incredibly, incredibly.
I mean, unless
rare.
Schwarber busts out, but I still think he's going to be okay.
And even if he does, he helped you win the World Series. So,
speaking of Schwarber, I got something on that regarding this Quintana trade.
Okay. We can do that, and we'll talk to you right after the news here coming up in 2 minutes. 312-981-7200. Cubs and Q in blue, 720 WGN. Real quick, before we get to the news here, I'm Mark Harmon. He's Adam Hoge. He's Jared Payton talking about the Quintana trade. We don't like to keep you waiting, so let's slip in one phone call here. What's up, Gary? You like the trade, huh?
I do. Yeah, I've been a Cubs fan since 72, so I've seen a lot of miserable seasons. And I really like what's going on with the team the last couple of years. But I wanted to share a story with you about what it is to be a Cubs fan. My son's Boy Scout troop had 10 kids and needed a 10-mile hike to finish their merit badge. And all the other dads were talking about forest preserves, and I said, no. Let's get them on the train. And so we took them down to Ogilvie Station, walked 5.1 miles to Wrigley, caught a game, walked 5.1 miles back. They got their badge, and it was the best hike they ever did.
Wow, and Gary.
That's what it is to be a Cubs fan.
Now, that's a hike.
Go, Gary.
I love that.
Way to be a leader, Gary. Appreciate you.
All right, thanks.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's what I'm talking about,
Get that.
Who needs to hike through the forest when you can just hike up Michigan Avenue?
All the way to Wrigley.
Straight up the lakefront.
It's a way to earn yourself a day of baseball.
Get your stripes.
Hey, when we come back, we'll discuss that Kyle Schwarber nugget. Could the White Sox have had Schwarber instead? That's an interesting question, and I'd like to hear from White Sox fans how they feel about that. It's over in Baltimore. Cubs get the sweep. 8-0 win. Some big home runs from Anthony Rizzo, Chris Bryant, but most importantly, the debut of Jose Quintana was a smashing success.
How about KB today? 3-for-4, couple of RBIs coming out red hot out of the break. Home run number 19, number 22 for Rizzo. And your boy, Jose Quintana, 7 innings, 3 hits, no runs, no walks, 12 strikeouts, 100 pitches, 67 strikes. His ERA as a Cub, still perfect, 0.00. I want to hug you.
I just want to throw out some like fire flame of emojis.
Yeah.
Just throw them out after
that. Was Jose that. Today. Jared Payton, Mark Carmen, Adam Hoge here with you on the beat till 6 o'clock. So would you guys say that the reaction Thursday, I felt like it was Sox fans thrilled that they were able to get Jimenez out of the deal and throw in Cease. White Sox fans seemed happy. Cubs fans, a lot of them seem happy. A lot of them seem skeptical, though. A lot of them, Cubs fans did not seem as happy as White Sox fans on Thursday. Carm, I would put you in that group.
I'm in that group.
And you're focused too much. Okay, I see your argument, because you said this to me. You said, look, I know win-loss record doesn't really matter. But when you've made as many starts as Quintana has, and you're below 500, like there has to mean something.
Yeah,
and I sort of get that.
I understand, and like the baseball people stand from the tallest mountain. Wins don't matter. Yeah, I get it. I understand it's not the key statistic out there. But at the end of the day, it is one of the statistics that I look at. And the fact that he had never won over 10 games, one time he won over 10. I'm like, well, what is the deal here? Then you watch him pitch today, and, I mean, he's just very solid. I was really enjoying him.
Well, look, here's why his record now with today's win is 51-54 in his career, okay?
And I mean, he's 51-54.
In 170 starts now. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's a lot of no decisions. But here's why his record doesn't matter, Carm.
He had the worst run support in baseball 2012 to 2017. Are you going to say that?
Well, part of it. I mean, he had the second most quality starts in all of the American League since 2013. He had the second lowest run support in the American League since 2013. So he's going zero. He's not getting any run support, but he still is up there. Think about all the good pitchers in the American League. He had the second most quality starts. And to me, something that matters a lot to me is going 200 innings in a season.
He does do
that.
I mean,
you can break down all these analytics, and I know you hate analytics. This is not analytics. This is just math. Getting to 200 innings is in a one season is a big deal to me because it shows that you're durable, okay? It shows that you're going deep into games. You're dependable, okay? And most importantly, if you're pitching 200 innings in a game, that means...
Season.
Yeah, in a season, you are more times than not giving your team, consistently giving your team a chance to win the game.
Four straight years over 200 for him. ERA in the mid-threes. And among major league starters, 600 innings plus from 2013 to 2016, he's got an 18.1 WAR, wins above replacement. This is when I start to get a little nauseous. But when I read the names of who's done that, Clayton Kershaw, Max Scherzer, Chris Sale, Cole Hamels, Zach Greinke, Corey Kluber. That's the only pitchers in baseball that have been better than him.
Yeah. Thank you. That's all I need to know.
And you read that and you're like, oh, okay. And then you also look at it like, who's making this trade? Oh, yeah, it's Theo Epstein making the deal. So that's another thing, like, for Sox fans. Like, you're dealing with Theo, man. Theo knows everything about Eloy Jimenez and every little nook and cranny, right? Same thing with Dylan Cease.
But, Hoag, I didn't...
Matt Rose, Bryant Fleety.
Thursday for me was... I mean, I thought this was exactly... This was perfect. There was no hesitation, even looking at him and what he did, you know, to end June and coming to July. You started to see him become that guy. And I just think it's about where you're at as well. Like, no disrespect to the White Sox, but what you gave the numbers of seeing how much help he was actually getting, right? So it changes now. He's in a new scenery on the north side, and you love to be able to see him with guys just being around other great players, man.
But look, this could be his fifth straight year pitching 200-plus innings in a season. And you coming out of that with a record below 500 at this point in his career, that's just not his fault. It's just not his fault. I don't like win-loss record almost at all. I sort of understand where you're coming from, Carm. That, come on, there's got to be something there where it means. But I really think in Jose Quintana's case, you throw it out. It just really does not matter. On the flip side, those names that you just listed off, Carm, the guys that the only, you know, the few pitchers that have been better than him, those are number one aces. And if you want to have a conversation about whether or not Quintana is that guy, that's a fair conversation, because I've been saying pretty consistently that on a World Series winner, he's ideally your number two or number three starter.
That's another thing that people aren't talking a lot about is this year with Chris Sale being gone, he was the number one. And I don't think that he feels comfortable with that title where now he can be a number two or back end number two or three.
And if you polled Cub fans right now, who would you rather have on the mound when they get to the playoffs? Maybe a one-game wild card playoff. Don't rule that out, by the way. Colorado and Arizona coming back to the pack. The Cubs are chasing them, too. Who would you rather have on the mound, Lester or Quintana? I would bet the Cub fans right now, it's probably split, but it might even tilt Quintana after one start.
Today.
Hey, listen, last Sunday, definitely. But now, you know, maybe. I'm kind of split.
Listen, the other side with Q and what they paid, supposedly the Astros tried to get him over the winter. I'm sure that Rick Hahn was calling up Houston, hey, we're doing this. What's your best foot forward? The Angels, Blue Jays, Cardinals, Orioles, Royals, Yankees, Braves, all supposedly around there. Now, Rick Hahn's got to go out and create a market, and so I don't know what he had or what he didn't have.
Well, I really think the Brewers and the Braves getting involved in the last couple of weeks probably helped the situation a lot, because you're talking about definitely with the Brewers, that's who you're going up against if you're the Cubs right now, and you're gonna all of a sudden Quintana's gonna be pitching against you a bunch. You still have 10 games against the Brewers this season. You could see them two or three times,
right?
So that's not good. And then the Braves, I don't know how serious you take the Braves at this point, but they are right there. I mean, these games coming up in Atlanta this week, if you're the Cubs, you don't want to lose them because the Braves are right there in the wild card as well. So, you know, I look at Quintana very similar to Mark Burley. Quintana can actually throw harder, but, you know, for Quintana, it's all about control, pounding the edges of the strike zone. He's not going to completely overpower you, and you know, when you look at Mark Burley's career, he was for a long time considered the White Sox ace. He had so many opening day starts. But look in 2005 when they win the World Series, what happened? Jose Contreras really came out and became that team's ace. Really, that that true shutdown guy. And then Mark Burley slid into the number two spot during that playoff run, and it looked really good. That's what the Cubs need right now. You know, as what you just brought up, Lester, Quintana, who do you want to be pitching game one? You know, ideally it's Lester, or Arrieta rebounds here and becomes dominant again. Because really, I think Quintana ideally would be your number two or your number three in a playoff rotation.
Yeah, no, I was just thinking about that. I keep going back of trying to be inside of locker rooms, and I remember of guys how when I was at Miami, how it was being around Frank Gore and Willis McGahee in there, and you had to step up your game because if you didn't, you were going to get left behind. But when you saw someone make a play, you were like, yo, I got to elevate my game because everybody's watching as well. I see that as well inside with those starting pitchings. Like, everybody's going to have to raise up their game now, and this was great for Quintana to be able to come out and have a stellar performance like today.
I completely agree. And I also like hitting in baseball, contagious.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I'm watching Javi Baez finally get three hits last night. He's looking at his counterpart over there, Addison Russell, stepping up in huge bombs to win a game on Friday night. I mean, there's got to be a little bit of a rivalry going on with those guys, as much as their teammates like to jump up and down and play short and second together. Like, hey, if everybody's going, I want to be a part of this. So maybe that focus does get stepped up and maybe they don't press as much. I'm also like looking back, like just thinking about Theo. Eloy Jimenez, when they signed him, he was 16 years old. They paid $2.8 million in a signing bonus to him. He was the number one international prospect. He signed in that international draft bonus weird period that nobody really understands. They signed this kid at 16 years old, and they also signed that year the number two international prospect, Gleyber Torres. So here right in the middle of the rebuild, this was 2013, mm-hmm. Here they're out being aggressive, signing Jimenez, signing Torres, and they flip one into Aroldis Chapman, who helps them win a World Series. And now the guy's unbelievable.
They did a great job.
Which is, but by the way, the White Sox are doing that all over the place with Luis Robert and Robert, yeah. Whatever his name is.
Need as many as you can get.
You need as many yep. as you can get.
Because, again, some of these guys, when the Sox are good, when they finally get in the mix, some of these guys, probably one or two, aren't going to be good. And another one or two or three or four, in the case of the Cubs here, you're going to trade them. You know, at some point, you got to sell, too, to bring other assets in that are ready to go.
And that's another side. Like, the White Sox, okay, like, let's say all their prospects work out. Well, okay, let's say that one of their pitch. Let's at some point, my point is they're going to need pitching.
Yeah.
Right? So they're...
Well, that's the crazy thing about what Rick Hahn's doing is he has kind of done a great job, or actually, not kind of, he's done a tremendous job of acquiring both position players now and pitchers.
He does have a nice...
Theo went all position players for the most part. And and that's why they're sort of in this position now where they had to pay a lot for Quintana, because it wasn't just about this year. It's about next year and the year after that, because they need pitching badly.
Right, and we don't believe in developing pitching. They blow out their arms. We'd rather go out and make aggressive plays on impact bats, and we believe we can trade those for the pitching that we'll need. I mean,
which is not wrong. No. It worked. And by the way, Zach Birdie,
it blew out his
Tommy
head.
John.
See,
he needs Tommy John, and that's one of the White Sox top pitching prospects right
it's
now.
It's impressive. It really is impressive what Theo has been able to do.
It's like three steps ahead of the game.
I hope Rick can do it too. I really do. I hope a bunch hit, so it just looks good.
We had David Haw on yesterday, and his comment on Rick Hahn was like, can you win GM of the year on a fourth-place team? Because that was a great point. Like, he's got to be in the mix. I don't care how many games they win.
They have the third worst record in baseball right now.
That's fine.
Do you realize that?
Yeah, I do, and it doesn't matter.
I'm not saying – I'm not saying you're wrong.
Actually, it does matter. They want to be that bad. They want a high draft.
No, it's great. Okay, so there's been some smoke this week, and I'm going to take a break, but 312-981-7200, this is a question I have. I was listening to the White Sox Talk podcast that CSN Chicago does with Chuck Garfine, and Dan Hayes was on it, and Ryan McGuffey was on it, and there was enough in there that made me believe that had Rick Hahn wanted to go down the Kyle Schwarber avenue instead of Eloy Jimenez, that maybe that kind of deal could have been worked out. That he may have been able to get Schwarber instead of Jimenez. And obviously, there's two sides of this. One, if you're a White Sox fan, would you rather have Schwarber right now? I mean, he would have come over right away and probably been your DH today, right? Or Friday, okay?
I would have felt bad for the Schwarbino.
Yeah.
It's not a time that you want to be a White Sox. And about in a couple of years, great.
But if you're not a Sox fan, would you rather have Schwarber rather than a single-A guy in Eloy Jimenez who looks like he's got a huge ceiling? But, look, I hate to say it, a lot of these guys bust out. There's been comparisons to Jorge Soler with him. How's Jorge Soler looking right now?
Not very good.
Yeah, it's not a guarantee.
It's not so good.
Then, but also, more for you guys, isn't it interesting? If that was indeed possible, isn't it interesting that Rakan wanted Jimenez instead?
312-981-7200. Q in blue. Schwarber still in blue. The Cubbies perhaps mounting a major, major second half run here. 312-981-7200. Schwarber, Jimenez, that's an interesting discussion. 720 WGN. Congrats to my guy. I know you guys were up early this morning. Roger Federer, the greatest of all time. 19 Grand Slam titles. Hogue, were you watching?
Absolutely not.
JP, were you there?
No, I was not.
It's the way it goes.
I woke up. I was like, hey, I know this is on.
Real quick.
I lived this tennis dream by myself. Go ahead.
Yesterday, doubles, men's doubles.
Yeah?
We did watch the end of that.
Why?
Because my son wanted to watch X Games, and that's what was supposed to be on. But I guess the match went a little bit longer. They closed the roof. He had a little 20-minute intermission, and then they came back out and end up. Listen, doubles is pretty fun to watch.
You know,
I like it.
On at noon today on DirecTV's.
Hold up, no, just let him know that I'm serious. One guy had has a V in his last name, right?
Venus Williams.
No,
was it a final?
Yeah, it was a final. It's doubles.
There was a men's doubles final. JP was watching. That's amazing. Doubles live is incredible, by the way. It's a lot of action.
Unreal.
There was it was fourth seed Lucas Kubat and Marcelo Melo over Oliver Morak and Mate Pavic. You got that one going on?
Marcelo Melo?
I think that was it.
Marcelo Melo.
It was a good match, man.
That's what this one says.
It's so
I didn't watch the dubs.
It's so quick, man, and watching how the technique between how two people work together. It's amazing.
I know my tennis people are out there. Just got to give Roger a little love. A lot of love from the NBA. Now back to Kyle Schwarber. Could have been a White Sox.
So sorry.
White Sox Schwarby. You're Rick Hahn, Adam Hogue. Hey, it's Theo. I'll give you Schwarber and the rest, and I'm not giving you Eloy. You in? Would you have done it?
Well, I think that's the big question. If it was Schwarber, I don't know that Dylan Cease would be included.
I'll give you Schwarber and the...
There's so many angles to this, because one, someone just texted, it's a good text, 773, Schwarber instead of Jimenez would have lowered the Sox chances of a top five draft pick, or he would have been a bust for the whole year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if...
It's a decent point. I mean, if he's good...
Sure, he might help you win a couple more games.
And then if he's bad, then it looks like a bad trade right away.
Yeah. I think that Rick Hahn did well. I would not... If I was the White Sox...
I'm not saying he didn't. I just find it really interesting because we, and me included, I've been saying for a while that Schwarber would make more sense playing on the South Side as a DH than he does right now in that Cubs lineup.
He is an American League player, and he might end up in Detroit. That's an interesting rumor that was out there this week. The Tigers have young pitching. The Cubs are still looking for pitching. I think probably the Quintana trade changes that for now. And Schwarber's looked decent coming out of the break. And I love Kyle Schwarber. But I do think he's an American League player.
Yeah. He just is.
And with the knee injury, he's never going to be a catcher, which I think the Cubs saw him as somebody who could at least catch, like, say, 40, 50 games.
That's not happening.
And that's not going to happen.
It's not happening.
No.
So, I as much as they love Schwarbs, I could see Theo trading him at some point. It wouldn't shock me.
Again, it goes back to Theo's just too smart of a baseball guy. You know, he might be in love with Schwarber. He might have this incredible bond with him or whatever, but he's too smart not to realize that his bat needs to be incredible and it needs to be consistent for him to keep him in the National League to justify him being out there.
Yeah.
And look, he's not horrendous in left field.
No, he's
not great either.
No.
I mean,
it goes back to what Carm was talking about. You thought I mean, that's what the whole kind of the mind thinking was around it, was to think that he was going to catch a little bit here and there. I didn't know how many games, but now I don't see that happening anymore.
Yeah, that never made sense. I was actually in Arizona when I was at the Cubs the day this year when they randomly had Schwarber catch a minor league game.
He was doing the weird stance. He's got like,
yeah, and they purposely did not tell the media because they knew how big of a deal we all would have been watching the minor league game instead of the major league game that was going on at Sloan Park that day. And it was just, we're in the press box in like the seventh inning, and they were like, "Oh, by the way, hey, Schwarber caught in a minor league game, and he's going to be available over there if you want to go talk to him." Like completely out of the blue. And we had asked Joe Maddon that morning, "Hey, you think you're going to get Kyle Schwarber catching anytime soon?" And he's like, "Yeah, probably not."
Joe Maddon's
meanwhile, the same day, yeah, you don't think Joe Madden's got any John Fox in him?
He's not always.
That
honest.
Was blatant John Fox. No, right
John
there,
Fox. Little John.
312-981-7200. Want to call attention to Chris Bryant, who's had three hits Saturday, three hits yet today, hitting home runs. I'm getting optimistic here. Starting to get optimistic.
Shouts out, Jay Hayward. You know.
Ho gives me the look of, like, would you be a level-headed professional broadcaster and realize that the baseball season has peaks and valleys and not ride it every single day?
You know that already.
But, listen, that was it was an abysmal first half. It couldn't have gone any worse. You went into the break off a 2-4 homestand and getting smoked by the Pirates. 10 runs in the first inning. Smoked the Saturday night before that, got crushed by the Brewers on Thursday. It couldn't have ended.
It was bad.
It was a bad ending.
Yeah.
And then out of nowhere, like the wet butt 23 and Katy Perry's booty hole were the only two people in the city that knew that Quintana was coming to the Cubs. Out of nowhere, Quintana's a Cub. And then they come out of the break with wet butt 23 and Katy Perry's booty hole watching together and going nuts. As they sweep the Orioles and start the second half all of a sudden from 2-under to 1-over and now going to Atlanta, how can you be rational and just like kind of like casually ride along? I mean, that's a huge swing. You just got dumped by like a 2-star person that you were dating, and all of a sudden a week later you got picked up by a 4-star.
2 stars.
That was given the Cubs' first half was like a 2-star.
What are stars? How do you?
I don't know how. I tried to make a movie, right? To connect it to what's going on here. Didn't want to go too far.
You went too far.
It's a huge swing.
It is.
I'll end this hour the same way I started the hour. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Cubs fans should be just, you know, I've been texting my Sox fan friends, and there's only like I've only gotten like one who's really upset about it.
Yeah, and they're all going to root for Quintana, trust me.
I don't think they're rooting for Quintana. 312-981-7200. I'd just like to hear one angry Sox fan. I will never root for Jose Quintana. I hope Jose Quintana loses every game he pitches for the Cubs.
You want them to act like Twins fans acted when they traded A.J. Pierzynski?
Yes.
They booed A.J. into oblivion for the next decade like he left in free agency. Your team traded him. You can't be mad at the player.
Okay, that's right. I don't think any fan should be mad at Q, and Q has been nothing but a credit to the organization.
Stand up guy.
But that doesn't mean you're necessarily going to root for him. You're just a very mature guy when it comes to stuff like that.
Thank you.
I don't think there's anybody out there that will call that would say that. So
I'm going to bet against you.
All right, I'm just saying.
312-981-7200. White Sox fans, how you feeling with Q and Blue throwing 7 innings, shutout baseball, striking out 12, helping the Cubs win another World Series? This maybe the city's just getting more and more mature. Maybe I'm not giving everybody enough credit. Like
smarter fans.
I mean, Rick Hahn was saying it this week. I mean, you think that it's selling White Sox fans short? They know where we're at, and we're obviously going to make the best trade possible for the White Sox. And if you think that our fans are against that, then you don't understand White Sox fans. Maybe I don't.
I think he had a point there.
I think he did too. But I still think like this one is like,
I feel like this city has learned a lot about White Sox fans this year. They happen to know what's going on.
A lot of Sox fans supporting Ryan McGuffey. I see you, Comcast Sports. Then you're supporting.
We lose.
It's
Chicago Sports, spoken here. The Beat is on.
720 WGN and WGNradio.com.
407-720-WGN. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Jared Payton. He's Adam Hogue. Dan Long producing with you till 6. Hope you're having a great Sunday. Enjoying your weekend. The Cubs certainly enjoyed their weekend sweeping the Baltimore Orioles. They scored 27 runs in three games. Do the math. 9 times 3 equals 27. That's pretty good. And also 10 home runs, which is 3.33 homers per game. You tend to win a lot of baseball games when you do that. And Jose Quintana, do you remember his last start with the White Sox, Hogue?
Yeah, it was in Colorado last weekend.
Do you remember how many guys he struck out?
No.
10.
Oh, yeah.
You know how many struck out today?
12.
Okay. Quintana, the second player since 1900 to strike out 10-plus batters in consecutive games with different teams. The other came back in 1998. Lefty, nasty, had a little chin hair, was a Mariner. He was mainly a Mariner. Then Randy Johnson.
I was about to say Randy. Oh. Dang.
So Jose Quintana is like Randy Johnson.
Did
in
you
talk
about Randy Johnson's chest hair?
Chin.
Not his chest. I've never seen Randy Johnson's chest hair.
Well, you have chest hair. That's disappointing.
It is a little disappointing. I'm thinking about getting the back hair shaved, by the way. Are you guys on board with the back hair shaving? You ever done a back hair shave?
I don't need that, no.
You don't need too much information?
I don't have enough hair, so.
You're just one of those guys that just has everything.
I mean, I wish I had some hair like you guys. Put some gel in and spike up a little bit.
When did you start going bald over there?
Well, I've always had the receding hairline since I was born. I've always had it. But, yeah, I cut it around 12 years old. Like, right after the Hall of Fame, when I inducted my dad, I cut it off.
You shaved your head for good at 12?
Yeah. I went on a soccer trip, shaved my head. My mom thought I was crazy when I came home. What are you doing? Because I had, like, the Sean Kemp. Remember the Sean Kemp?
Sure.
With a little bit of, like, the Gumby. You know how Gumby used to be, like, it was a little bit of a slope? Yeah. Look like a ramp at the X Games.
Tell me you don't want to see that pick.
No, I don't like that pick.
I'd love to see that pick.
I want to see it.
I'll bring it up for you so you can see it. A little fade in the back.
How often do you have to do the shave action over there?
I do it every...
I know people are caring about this.
Sunday.
Every Sunday.
Yeah, like this morning, I just, shave it and then move on.
Is that with a...
That seems like a lot less maintenance.
It is a lot less.
Is that an electrical situation
over
there?
Yeah, you can use... I use electrical. Nice little... Look at Hogue's hair, man.
He's got a good flip.
The frosty
Real good flip.
Frosty tips?
I heard those are coming back in, though.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I also heard is coming back in is short shorts for men.
Nah. Yeah, they're like those chubbies.
What?
Yeah, you seen those swim trunks? I think they're called chubbies.
The short look out of nowhere.
Can't do it.
I got to.
And I've seen fanny packs.
I've been seeing a lot of fanny packs.
Okay, fanny packs can't be in.
Yes.
I'm not going.
And last night I saw the Verve pipe and Toad the Wet Sprocket, so we might just be living in the 1990s again and not know it.
That sounded like a good concert, though.
It was good.
Go full rewind. So one more on cue here. Struck out Cubs.
Carm's favorite Cub of all time.
I love Jose Quintana. Michael get the 62 jersey right after the show.
I think Carm could spend the next hour and 50 minutes just rattling off Jose Quintana facts.
Well, it's the most strikeouts that he's had all year, most by a Cubs pitcher all year. Those are stats.
That's impressive.
Those are stats that you need to know. Struck out 10, of course, we had just mentioned in his last start with the Sox. Only the second pitcher since 1900 to do the 10-plus with Randy. And Q right now is on a whole another plane. His first start as a Cub, he surpassed Rich Harden back in 2008. At this point in the season, this is the last Cub that they've acquired who's had a better first start than Rich Harden, which is amazing to me. Harden gave a 5 1/3, 5 hits, 3 walks, but no runs and striking out 10. With 10 strikeouts is the point here. The last Cub who made a debut and struck out 10 was Rich Harden.
I don't think that's correct.
You sure?
Because it was my understanding that Matt Garza struck out 12 in his Cubs debut in 2011.
But this is a trade in the midseason. Garza was an offseason acquisition. That's
okay. All right, you're saying trade in the mouth. I thought you were just saying Cubs debut.
Yeah, no. I'm just
okay.
Saying.
All right.
How many
mid-season debut 10Ks? You go back to Rich Harden 2008. That didn't exactly work out particularly well for Rich Harden and the Cubs after that. So
or Matt history. Garza.
I need some
or Matt Garza. Right.
History lesson. How many players have done it before to pitch for both teams for as starters in the same season?
Let's think about that. So Cubs and White Sox starters in the same season.
I have no clue.
The Garland trade was before he actually came up, right?
Yeah, there was a lefty that I'm thinking in the mid-90s who pitched for both the White Sox and Greg Hibbard. Do you remember a Greg Hibbard?
No, I was listening to too much Toad the Wet Sprocket.
Were you going Toad the Wet back
yeah,
then?
Yeah.
Hold on a second here. Am I right about this? I think Greg Hibbard.
Let's see if we can get more meaningless information.
Everybody loves Greg Hibbard.
Yeah.
The great Greggy Hibbard, somewhere right.
Dan, you got anything in there? Dan, you got any useless information to keep the Jose Quintana thing going?
Hibbard pitched.
I was just looking up Jason Barea's stats
Jason Barea.
Baseball Reference. His was about 5 years apart, though.
He was on both teams.
Hibbard went White Sox 89 through 92, then he came to the Cubs in 93, went 15-11. Greg Hibbard. Don't tell me I don't know my Greg Hibbard. Greggy Hibbard.
Neil Kotz pitched for both teams.
David Arzma
pitched for both teams.
It's incredible that both fan bases are completely happy with this. The White Sox are going to win the World Series in 2021. The Cubs are going to win another World Series in the next couple of years. And the White Sox help the Cubs, and the Cubs help the White Sox. This is a sign that the world is going to in a better direction. Forget about what's going on in politics. We hear about it every day. Congress, the House, this state, the budget. There is baseball evidence that we can all get along and make things better.
You know, Congress should take the Cubs and White Sox as an example that you can work together.
Yeah.
That you can come across Madison Street.
I mean,
unity.
And come together to help the common good, to help
love
both sides.
I mean, bitter yeah, rivals. Cubs fans were irate getting Matt Kershaw for John Garland. White Sox fans didn't like seeing Sammy have the career that he had, though
I'm good with that. Sosa was
See, that's always a weird one. Like, Sox fans literally didn't care that Sammy was incredible.
Because he was
what? He had 600 home runs. I mean, the guy was
incredible. Yeah, but how many would he have hit it if he was also a jerk?
It's sure, fine, but he had 600 home runs, 545.
Did you see the photo of him the other day?
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, we had it. Yes, I saw it.
He dipped himself in Pepto-Bismol.
He's like, he's the first human being to legally be pink.
It's a weird scene with Sammy.
It was.
Like, they could bring him back and have the moment of Sammy Day at Wrigley, which I wanted so bad, but, like, you wouldn't even know it was him. Is that you, Sammy?
It's kind of weird, man.
I mean, maybe he's got something going on that's making it necessary. He's taking some cream and going all Michael Jackson. What's going on here?
I don't know. The tweet that I saw was there's two pictures of him from his rookie year, and then also two, you know, with the Pepto-Bismol, the hat on. And it said it should do a 30 for 30. And 30, it said, what if I told you that this guy was also this guy? Classic.
That's pretty good.
it's pretty good.
I don't think I want to see that.
Are we working to get Sammy on the show, Dan Long? I'd like to talk to Sammy.
I would love to talk to Sammy.
The Mike and Mad Dog 30 for 30 was good.
Is it really that good?
I mean, if you're working in sports radio, if you love sports radio, it's only an hour. It's a real quick watch, and it's good.
All right. Hey, coming back here, you touched on something with myself as far as just celebrating a Cubs World Series, and then all of a sudden you get in the next season, and you think, like, most Cubs fans thought that you were good for life, but then next season comes around, and are we all realizing that last season is just in the past? And are you? I'm curious if people are dialing into the point that it now matters what happens the rest of the way here. And by the way, you should wake up and watch the new WGN-TV early morning news. JP's not on there, but you can see Lauren Jiggetts and Dan Ponce. Traffic with Sarah Jindra and weather with Morgan Kochmeyer. That's weekdays 4 to 6 a.m. 4 p.m. You can see JP.
Yes, sir. I'm up that early, though, watching the news. It's great.
Of course you are.
I watch it every day.
Got to.
I'm not up at 4 a.m. I'm not going to claim that. That would be inaccurate. 720 WGN. Scoreboard watching up in Milwaukee. 5-2 Phillies, top of nine. If the Brewers cannot come back and score three in the ninth, they'll fall to 52-42, 4.5 games ahead of the Cubs. And that is a three-game differential in the all-important loss column. We are scoreboard watching here on 720 WGN. And if you'd like to take a brief look at the wild card standings, I know you do, the Cubs are 5.5 back of the Colorado Rockies, 53-41 the Rockies. So if the Cubs play great baseball and the Brewers stay hot, that wild card will become a thing. And there's I don't see Colorado and Arizona pulling away like everyone thought they were going to.
Well, they did pull away.
Right.
I'm surprised. I'm a little disappointed in the Rockies.
Rockies won today. They beat the Mets 13-4.
Because I went on the limb and said the Rockies were making the playoffs this year. And now they're just being the Rockies again.
Cubs,
I mean, their offense is incredible. Why can't you just pitch for a year? Ugh.
Cubs had a very rough series in Colorado that I've tried to repress the memory of that, but that did happen a little bit ago. So
Cubs are going to win the division.
You'd think so, huh?
Yeah.
It was either, I do.
We talked about it on last Sunday.
Yeah,
it's either you came out of this break and you were going to keep losing, or you're going to get on a hot streak and start winning some games. And for right now, that's what it looks like for the Cubs.
312-981-7200. Here's the question for you, for the Cub fan, World Series champion Cub fan. If at the end of the year, like what, now that you've gone all in on Quintana and you've got however many days until the trade deadline at the end of the month, if the season, like what's the success level here? Like what constitutes success? Do you have to win it again? Because I think that's probably what it is. And how nauseous.
It depends. The Dodgers look unbelievable.
They do, and so do the Astros.
So if you lose in seven games to the Dodgers.
So it's got to be a seven-game NLCS toddy-toddy with the Dodgers.
Well, don't get swept.
Don't get swept.
Like no, you can't you can't have what happened against the Mets.
Okay, so
which I seem to be the only one upset about that 2 years ago.
So okay, so you're saying I did not like the Mets series, but I didn't.
Well, I'm the only one that I was like, anyone else have a problem with this? All the Cubs fans were like, it's a great year. We were better than we thought. I'm like, you just got swept in the playoffs.
Yeah, but
they beat the Cardinals in the playoffs. Do you understand how satisfying that is?
It was no, I don't. Cool. You won.
Felt good.
You beat the Cardinals in the NLDS. You won nothing.
Yeah, but they were
nothing.
It came out of nowhere, and they were so young, and you knew that they were going to win.
Schedule.
Thank you. Way ahead of schedule. You just knew that they were lining up for 2016. We're going to win the whole thing, and they did it. Cub fans just saw that. You just didn't realize what was going on. The future was right.
What do you mean I didn't realize that? I predicted last year they were going to win the World Series.
That was so beautiful. So
this year I predicted they wouldn't.
I thought that I would never care again coming into the season. Like, once they won, it's like, oh, I can't believe it. I can sleep at night. I no longer have to carry this burden of the Cubs never winning. That's like, that was such a lie to myself. It's I completely care.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lose.
You care more.
I'm pretty in there. I'm pretty in there.
Do you know how upset I was in 2006 when the White Sox just bombed the second half of the season?
But that's like,
they had the best record in baseball at the All-Star break. They looked like they were a better team with Jim Thome. You're going, oh, they're going back to back. This is happening. New dynasty. No one even remembers this. It's like suppressed from Chicago's memory.
And then they fell so fast after that year.
Yeah. Well, 2007, they were horrendous.
Yeah. I feel like it's like a pothole, a sinkhole. It's not even a pothole. A sinkhole was basically sealed off to a very, like, the house is stable, but I just want to have some.
What are you talking about?
I'm just like, there's a certain level of emptiness that has been eradicated forever because they won.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then from there, it's
a pretty big pothole.
It was a sinkhole.
It was a giant sinkhole.
It was one of those sinkholes.
It took 108 years to open up.
Right. It was one of those, that you see those houses that get swallowed up this week?
It swallowed up half the city.
I mean, it was that size. It was probably bigger than that.
A little bit bigger.
So, but now, like, it's sealed up, but you, like, have this house with all these, just a ton of empty rooms still or something. Like, just a couple more. Just let's furnish the place.
What's the number? How many World Series do you want out of this? Like before the Cubs are
awful again.
I just don't want
to
go back.
I hate to tell you, there is going to come a time where the Cubs are awful again.
Yeah, I don't. I just don't want to go back to being bad. Like that. It's going to happen. I understand. A three. Can we get to? I want a three-peat.
You want three?
Yeah.
A three-peat?
See, I think Blackhawks fans would have been thrilled with three back in 2010. You're always itching for more.
Now, yeah, you.
But there is sort of the satisfaction. Yeah, a lot of fans are satisfied with three.
Can I say this though? After, you know, last season, I think the expectations of just taking it for granted a little bit of getting there again. I think that it was humbling. This the first half was like it's not going to be easy.
Yeah.
You have to. Everything has to fall the right way to win a championship.
No doubt.
And
we need some rain.
But it also gave you hope that, listen, you can, you know, mess around the first half, still be in it in the weak division, and find a way to get hot when the time is right. And if you can do that, especially when you have the talent on the roster like the Cubs do, anything's possible.
Text line 3012 says, you think Han and Theo should take a crack at healthcare next?
Why not, man?
I mean, yeah.
Why not? These two seem... be solving a lot of problems.
What?
Theo could be president.
Why? What are the things that we should line up the world for Rick Hahn and Theo to do? Like, I've always said with Theo, like, I would trust him to do my taxes. I would trust him to be my financial advisor if I had any money. I would trust him. He could be like dating advice guy. He could. There's literally nothing that you would sit across from that guy and get his opinion, and I would feel comfortable with what he came up with.
Yeah.
I mean, and then you combine Rick Hahn into it, who's rebuilt the White Sox, and now, I mean, I don't think world peace is completely off the table here with those two. Israel and we could have a two-state solution with these two guys. Next thing you know, like, Gaza's going to be somewhere that everybody can visit. Get these two involved. I don't want to go into areas that make people uncomfortable here, but I think anything's possible with Rick Hahn and Theo Epstein. We have two incredible talents in the city that, quite frankly, are being underutilized just doing baseball.
I agree. Get them out of baseball.
I mean, let them dabble. They don't. I don't want Theo to leave the Cubs.
That'll get you bad in a hurry.
Yeah.
Right. He's got to still be here, but he can't do other things.
Here, let me ask you.
He can't be here and do other things.
If I said tomorrow morning, he could show up at the White House and take over as our president.
No doubt.
Would you give up the Cubs?
No.
Right now,
he wouldn't.
I would allow him to. I think I'd let him be the. In my world,
no, he has to. He'd be done with the Cubs.
Do both.
He's done with the Cubs. He's taking over the United States of America.
Got to sign that off.
Little bit of a promotion for him.
I'll sign off on that. Sure.
But you'd be willing to do it?
Sure, absolutely. I'd let Theo be president. I think he could bring people together. I think he could solve financial difficulties. I mean, the guy was number one leader Forbes. I know that he was embarrassed by that, but I was all in. Makes sense to me.
Higher than the Pope.
Theo. Theo came to the Cubs. Theo went to Starbucks. Theo met with Tom Ricketts. Theo traded for Quintana. Theo.
Theo's got Q in blue.
Q in blue. Theo. All right. Timeout going to news. You got something you want to read over there? You're holding papers. You're making me nervous.
Yeah, we'll go to the break. We're late for break.
Okay.
I'll tell you about it a little bit.
News in a second. 720 WGN.
Hey, I want to let you know I'll be at the Adler Planetarium this Thursday, July 20th, for the sold-out adult-only social event, Adler After Dark. You'll get exclusive access to the museum, exhibits, plus special programs, bars, talks, giveaway, and more. This month's theme of the program is called All-Star, which explores sports and space. Adler will showcase Chicago sports memorabilia, and you can visit with your favorite mascot from Chicago sports teams. And make sure you come see my discussion with a Northwestern University researcher at 8:30 p.m. called Jump Higher, Fly Farther, Sports on Earth and Beyond. And this is sold out, but we are giving away four tickets to this by the end of the show. Probably do that in 5 o'clock hour. So keep listening. We have one pack of four tickets to this sold out event on Thursday, which I'm looking.
You're kind of big time right there with that, Hogue.
So here's.
Why can't I get an invite to an event?
Here's the kind of stuff we're going to look at.
Big time.
This stuff's actually pretty cool. You know, so for instance, like Michael Jordan's dunk from the free throw line.
Mm.
we're going to look at, like, what if he was on a different planet, like with different gravity?
Yeah.
Could he do it from like half court?
That's what you're doing?
That kind of talk.
That's way out. That's, I mean, that's super high level, right?
I mean,
there.
That's out of my league. Or if you, I would love to sit down and
if
listen.
You hit a golf ball on the moon, how far would it go? That kind of stuff.
If you,
the answer is like 4 bajillion yards, I think.
If you spent time during your week watching Bulls Knicks 1986-87 opener Jordan 50, was that good, a good use of your time? Will that be discussed?
No.
Because I definitely did that this week.
That's the kind of stuff we discuss on this show.
It's like,
and we tell you, no, that was not a good use of your time.
I'd just like to throw that out there at 312-981-7200. I'm having a little bit of an issue at work sometimes where I just go down the sinkhole of Jordan highlights. What do you do at work that takes you away from what you're doing? Like, for me, it's always I'm into a 10-minute YouTube Jordan highlight. I'll go Bulls, Cavs, 50, like Game 1, 1988 playoffs. Then I'll be into a Bulls, Knicks, 86 opener. Next thing you know, I'll go old school Jordan, want to see something like when he's wearing the 45. I probably do that, no disrespect to my other employer, fansided.com. I probably do that at least once a day. I'm into a 10-minute, I should be fine, docked pay, something. I'm talking on the radio. Hey, Jared, you're smiling over there. You got something. You just don't want to admit.
I do it all the time. I mean, either, if I'm not watching like old Bear stuff or clips of my pops, or I even go back to watch guys who I came up with who played high school ball and just look up at their high school highlight films. Like, just
so yours all football.
Yeah, I mean, I'll
three
basketball,
four
basketball every once in a while. But if it's basketball, it has to be Mike. It's always Mike.
You're always – Hogue's giving me this look right now, just complete disgust. Like
Hogue does it too, man.
No, I do it. Mine are more random. I always end up like clicking on – so I'm sitting around like in the morning and I'm trying to get my day going, and like the WGN Morning News will, you know, post one of their Facebook videos, which are always funny. And yeah. then it always sends – you know how like when you click on a Facebook video, then it sends you like down a line of the next videos?
Yeah.
And they're completely random?
Yes.
And like – so, yeah, if you pick a Jordan video, the next one's probably going to be a Jordan video.
Yeah.
But with the WGN Morning News, it sends you down like this crazy path where you don't know what you're going to see. Like there might be like a moose that like runs in front of a car. Or it might be like some crazy gas station video where all of a sudden some guy starts shooting.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know what you're going to see.
My favorite one recently was from the zoo, and I think it was in Michigan when the monkey or ape or whatever was playing with the crowd and crushed grandma with the
he threw his
right off on her nose. And there was people.
I think we talked about that on the show.
We did. It was my favorite. I think it was my favorite moment of 2017. It was so good. I really, God bless the internet at times. By the way, it's a final in Milwaukee. Phillies 5, Brewers 2. So the Brewers do.
Congratulations.
4.5 back, baby. Milwaukee, where do the Brewers go next? Anybody know off the top of their head?
Pittsburgh.
Is that right?
Yes, it's Pittsburgh.
Look at Hogue. Look at Hogue just knowing that they start a four-game set. In Pittsburgh, then a 4-game in Philly.
I was listening.
Or 3-game in Philly.
You know, Bob Uecker's a good dude.
You were listening to a TMJ with Uke?
Yeah.
How does that happen?
You turn on the radio?
Do you ever turn on 620 and listen to the Brewers?
No.
JP? Like, that? No one does that.
You've spent half this show looking at a box score. Maybe you should try it.
I mean, I just would never go. If I was going up to the Brewers game, I might put on 620, but that never would cross my mind to do. I'm a Chicago guy. I'm not going Milwaukee radio. As much as I love Milwaukee and it's a great city and great fans and all that, would never think to do that.
Most Sundays I'm driving down here, there's three teams that are relevant right now to our show, and I'm constantly flipping around trying to figure out what's going on.
I
have a 45-minute drive down here.
I mean, I don't even...
I gotta be up to date with what's going on in the game.
Can you get 620 outside the WGN studio? Is it that good of a signal?
It's a little fuzzy down here, especially downtown, but up by where I live.
Is this a bad idea to promote another station right now? How does this look?
We're talking about Uecker. Bob Uecker's a genius.
He is a baseball treasure, yes. It's a great idea. I could throw on Uecker every now and then just to see what's going on.
Or use the MLB app. You could do that too.
And the Brewers are never relevant, and they will be for another month until Cubs have about a 10-game lead.
Somebody's... this guy is a completely different guy than he was last Sunday.
It's true. I am.
He just blatantly said the Brewers are going to be out of it a month from now.
They're going straight
out
down.
Of it. They just lost. Wait, time out.
They just lost to the Phillies.
You proposed a bet last week.
What was the bet last
that
week?
That was like.
See, you should take me up when I'm outside myself.
Dan, we got to find it's this. So, do you remember this, Dan?
Right now,
you
said something like,
"You are."
Would there? At some point, you said, "Will either team be more than six games out or something like that?" Like you were proposing.
I was basically saying that it's more likely the Cubs as of last Sunday were closer to last place than they were to first place.
Yeah,
that was the reality. And then if they got to like 8-9 out, which by the way is a lot, they could get to 8 before they can climb all the way back to 0 from 5.5.
Yeah, I think you said it's more likely the Cubs would be like 7 games out than 7 games up.
Don't pull that clip. Let's leave that off.
And now you're like a month from now the Brewers are gonna be out of it.
I got the tape here.
I'll go through.
Short-sighted moment by me, realizing didn't think that Theo was gonna go out and save the season. I kind of bought into his whole the answers are in the clubhouse malarkey that he was throwing out there, and then he goes out and saves the season again.
Yeah, just like people bought in.
No, there's no way this could be a trade between the Cubs and
that
the
White
Sox.
That one, I literally think I started talking Quintana to the Cubs trade when the game was around in 2014. I'm 99% certain it started then. If not, when we were doing the show, well over a year ago. So,
all executives lie.
Yeah, and it just
they
it,
all do.
It may just give you
even
the
nice
truth.
Ones, even the ones we truth. Believe could be president of the United States.
It made way too much of Jody. Okay. Theo for president. Hey, Jim, welcome to 720 WGN. What's going on, man?
So, Carm, this week I had an emergency, had to fly to London for a meeting. They just put my dad this week in a old folks home. We had all kinds of things going on. But the only thing I could think about was what ended up happening last Sunday night with the shirt. Carm, I have a lot on my plate. I have a lot on my plate, but all I could keep thinking was, what happened with the girlfriend and the shirt? I'm going to hang up and listen to your answer.
Jim, you're an amazing person. I really don't want you to hang up and listen, but if that's what you won't choose to do, I will put you. Okay. Okay, so, all right, we ended up the show.
Are you still in a relationship?
Yes, we ended up the show last week. Last segment, I was going out to meet...
The parents,
first time, you know, I've been dating.
I didn't know this. I was already gone.
You were gone, so I brought up that I was going out to...
Wait, Carm and I were literally playing dress up with him.
Yeah, so I was wearing like a V-neck shirt, and I was saying, is this good enough? And I was wearing shorts, and I was asking what I should bring. And Hoag literally followed me out after the show. We rummaged through my trunk, which was a disaster zone.
His trunk looks more like a closet than it does a trunk.
I got a lot of clothes in there.
That's awesome.
So we pulled out a little like more collared polo golfy shirt.
Yeah.
So I switched out of the V, put on the collared, and went out and
changed the shoes too.
What'd you bring?
Changed the shoes. I had a bottle of wine.
Yes.
And we got out there, and the family was playing a little wiffle ball on the yard with the 5-year-old and the 2-year-old. And so I played some left field, and you know, every ball that came my way, I caught it. I was not letting that thing drop. We got to teach these lessons early. At the car showing up at your barbecue, you're not getting a home run on me if I can. I mean, I was trying to. I was like leaping up trees trying to make plays.
You're running awesome. Over 5-year-old. You were such a good dude.
So I don't know if that went over well or not because I wasn't. You know, I wasn't going to allow anything that. You know, hey, you got to learn. Home run's got to be a home run. So, but I changed, Jim, and sorry to hear about the stress in your family with your dad and all. And I appreciate you thinking about me. But yeah,
it all went well.
It all went well.
That's good.
It was
man.
Some Italian beef, delicious little meal, some salad, a lot of desserts. I thought I did okay. I mean, I haven't heard anything terrible yet. Although they never would tell you if you completely blew it with the family.
I got but you would have a good sense if it didn't.
Yeah, and I got invited to her sister has a 2-year-old who's going to have a birthday party. I got invited next week.
So that's a big deal. That's a big move. That's a big deal right there.
So that was
Uncle Carm.
I'm telling you, man.
Well, my niece is off to camp today. I sent her out. It's two weeks. I'm taking care of my brother's dog for a little bit here. We got Luna the dog.
Oh, Luna's back.
Luna's back. Luna almost got me a $400 ticket at softball today. Apparently, there's no dogs allowed in the park in Lincolnwood. You kidding me? I got the dog in the park in Lincolnwood. I got the officer of the law coming up to me, sir, and he was incredibly nice. And I was like, I'm really sorry, but the law here is that you can't have that dog in this park. What's wrong with you people in Lincolnwood? You can't have a dog in the park?
That's weird. Parks are like made for dogs.
I mean,
I'm not a dog.
And
person,
I don't even like dogs. I have a dog. I don't like dogs.
What? I love dogs. Is that, and it's a park.
Is your wife?
Like some patron in Lincolnwood like stepped in something in the park, then started an ordinance that dogs can't be in the park. Where do you want the dogs to go? It's a dog.
A dog should be leashed for sure in the park.
And this dog was on a leash, although I was like kind of letting him off. We were having a little bit of a run. Just, I was getting loose and
following
me around.
That's when you got yelled at.
That is when I got yelled at.
So
that's
are you
true.
Sure that it wasn't just that the no, dog should be leashed? Or was no dogs at all?
No dogs in the park. There were signs. I mean, what? The dog stayed for the whole game. Watched the, you know, I had to watch on the sidewalk. Couldn't enter the park. Saw me get a couple of key walks in a big game today, Hogue. I was willing to take pictures.
Wait, so what'd you do with the dog?
I had the girlfriend was with me, so she stayed with the animal on the sidewalk and watched an entertaining softball.
She's coming or to not softball games.
This was the first softball game today.
This is a lot of firsts.
Impromptu softball out of nowhere. So,
well, I told this to Carm last week, too. The fact he's even talking about this on the air is arguably
super
more monumental than him meeting the parents.
I'm super proud of you, man. I really am.
Hogue, I hope you put on protection before you touched the junk in Carmen's trunk. 312, you're a funny man.
Oh gosh, I just want to go see it.
Yeah, you should get a look at Carmen's
trunk.
That's how mine
was before I got married. Just a bunch of stuff in
the
back.
I'm like crazy about my car being not clean, just
inside.
Like, just I don't like garbage in there. I don't like stuff in there. And my wife is always leaving like wrappers and
I can't do that inside the car. The trunk, though,
you know, empty water bottles.
I've got 5 pairs of shoes in my back seat right now, and I've got a closet in my trunk.
I don't have that many clothes.
Yeah, I don't keep clothes. I'll keep like lawn chairs in there because you never know when you might need a lawn chair in the summer.
Propolani.
Is it crazy I don't think I've ever told anybody this. I've had a picture of my dad in the back of my car that someone gave me, and it's like a painting, and I just have in the back of my car and actually switch from car to car from like 2012 to recently.
How cool is
like
that?
Like in the trunk?
Yeah, it just sits in my trunk.
How much space does it take up?
In the trunk or in the back seat?
In the trunk. Oh.
Does it get in the way?
I like it.
Because I don't have any, like I'm not that way anymore of keeping a bunch of stuff in there. I just keep it in there.
Why don't you bring it in the house?
I don't know. I'm just a superstitious type of guy. So
you like to have him with you on the road.
Just keep him in there. Okay. Everything's been good since he's been in there, so let's just keep it.
3-4-1. I don't know if 3-4 wants to be in the trunk.
Well, we got more pictures of him inside. Like,
we got
a bunch.
Okay.
We're not missing this one.
People are texting and confirming the Lincolnwood dog stuff, by the way.
What's the deal with that?
I don't know. That's what Lincolnwood does.
Is there a dog park close somewhere?
I don't know. Maybe you can take it. Can you take a dog to the Bunny Hutch on Lincoln? You ever go there for a little batting cage, a little ice cream, a little hot dog? Great look.
But I need to know. Let me write that down.
People on Michigan Avenue giving the thumbs up for the Bunny Hutch. It's American institution. The Bunny Hutch. Okay. Everybody loves the Bunny Hutch.
I've never heard of it.
Great place. All right. Can we get out of this quick? Move on to something else. Although I do have a passive aggressive story I want to share with you coming back here.
Okay. Super. And I got a more serious note I got to talk about too.
Okay, good. And Hogue headlines at 5, 720 WGN. You're 5.5 back. You double that, you'd be 11 back, right? That seems like a
good math.
Right? So I'm just saying, I don't think they're going to fall 11 games back. That would be shocking. But let's just say they come out of the gate slow after the All-Star break, and it doesn't turn, and they're 8 out, they're 7 out, they're 9 out come the end of the month. I mean, what does that look like if you're the Cubs? That is possible. Let's not completely rule that out. I don't think there's anything wrong with that comment by Anthony Carm.
Mr. Negative, Mark Carman, a week ago. If you're listening to the show this week,
you're
hearing a completely different guy. Yeah. A guy who has seen his Cubs win 3 straight games after the All-Star break, not come out at the gate slow.
Come out fast.
Gain a game on the Brewers. They're only 4.5.
I kind of suck. I really do. I mean, because I was going to say that I love being a seller. I love getting young talent. But when the Cubs sold on Samardzija, I was like, I didn't like that deal either. I am so afraid of making a trade. I'd be the worst GM ever.
Yeah.
I would never pull the trigger.
Sometimes you got to have faith.
I mean, I liked the Bulls trade if we're talking for Jimmy. Of course, now I think that's going to work out poorly.
Sure.
Well, yeah, because the same people are running it.
Right.
Sometimes you have to identify the real problem.
Look good.
You got to bet on Theo. You want to do your serious thing here, or you want to do my passive-aggressive move yesterday?
I just quickly want to mention, and this is good news, that you've heard during our news, that the Fox River expected to crest. Fox Lake expected to crest. I was up there yesterday, and it is bad. The Channel Lakes, Fox River up there right now, it is... my cousins have a place on one of the channels. I can tweet out this photo at Adam Hogue. I'll put it out there maybe during the break. I showed this to JP. They live on this channel, and this is bad radio because you can't see this.
Don't worry.
But Carm.
It's nothing different than we've been doing all day.
This is what it's supposed to look like.
Okay. I'm looking at a picture that looks like a beautiful...
You have them on your Twitter account, don't you?
That's what it looked like.
Yeah, that's a lot of water.
I'm going to tweet this out.
Tweet it out right now.
Yeah, yeah. So you guys can see this too. But it's basically the channel has turned into a lake.
Yeah.
And there's like just homes sitting in the middle of it. It's really bad, and it's all over. A lot of the marinas are just completely flooded out. There's just boats sitting there. The lines are close to snapping if they haven't already. So...
scary stuff.
It's just, well, what's crazy is it happened Wednesday, and the water up until today was still going up because it's all coming down from Wisconsin, down the Fox River. And the Des Plaines, too, Town Line Road right here up by Vernon Hills and Metowat, it closed today. It had been open, closed, because the Des Plaines River's still rising. So just because these storms happened on Wednesday and they were crazy then when it did, it's just there's a lot of people where things are still getting worse and worse. So hopefully it starts to turn the other way because it's been a crazy few days for a lot of people up in Lake County.
Yeah, prayers up for everybody who was in the situation. We're, you know, living in the city. Fortunately, I have not had that here, but I've been following WGN radio and TV and the news, period, all week long, and it's just... You know, that's your home, man. That's
well,
serious stuff.
There's some cool stories though that come out of it because I was up at a place on 173 up in Lake County called Choppers, and they're running like a sandbag operation out of there yesterday. A couple other places like Blarney Island have been doing this last couple days, but a lot of the community just coming together, shoving everything aside. A lot of people had to take off work to deal with all this stuff this past week, and us all coming together. A lot of the bars were offering free beer and food for anybody that's coming out and helping. You know, just throwing business aside for a few days, throwing, you know, basically life aside just to come together as a community and help people. We were, you know, putting sandbags together. People need them like crazy. So, you know, there's always, anytime stuff like this happens, you know, at least uplifting stories that come out of it.
Well, yeah. Spirit of humanity, baby.
And I think up until this point, everyone's been safe. I don't think any lives have been lost, which is, thank God.
Absolutely.
Love you guys.
You're leaving us?
I got to.
Where are you going?
Got to go to Sports Feed.
What's on Sports Feed tonight?
Q and Blue, baby. Cubs aren't losing again for the rest of the season.
Oh, look at it. Just taking the momentum and taking it to television.
Hey, can you put one of my tweets on the show tonight?
What tweet?
I don't know.
It better be good.
I don't know. Just pick one.
I'll put out.
Like, which one? Like, one of the.
I don't know.
Baseball tweet or just I've seen some of your other tweets here because they're serious. That's why I was asking.
No, like a baseball one.
Well, you gotta have a good one, man. You always have good tweets.
Like maybe from like 2 months ago, it says Quintana would be perfect in a Cubs uniform.
Q and Blue, baby.
Q and Blue. You should mention on the show tonight on your TV show that apparently Wilson Contreras did not like the actual bats that he was using, so he switched to Victor Caratini's bats, backup catcher, and he went 8-for-14 over the weekend using Caratini's bats.
I was also seeing something else about a little toe tap before in his action now, a little bit of change in his swing that we're starting to see over So I was just looking at video. I've been seeing it.
Did you see him take one off the family jewels?
I heard it. I was in the car.
Okay.
You heard the noise that made?
No, I just heard them talking about it, giving him a couple extra seconds to catch his breath.
I was worried that Contreras was hurt, and then it was just the old male situation.
Don't say like, just the old.
These things pass.
Jason Hayward get some love, too? Man?
Jason Hayward's playing ball right now.
Playing some ball, man.
It's another one of your favorite players. Carm.
Just have faith. Just come on, man. Believe, Carm.
Making it out like I'm the only guy who had a beef with Jason Hayward last year.
No. Everybody did.
All right.
You wanted him so gone, though.
I kind of still do. I hate the contract, but he's a great guy to talk to. He gave the speech. They won the World Series. He's hitting the baseball. Go, Jason Hayward. Have a great show tonight, Jared.
We have so much to get to in this last hour. Hoax headlines, Bob Nightingale coming up talking baseball. There's a thing on this Mayweather-McGregor nonsense, and then the story in the Tribune about Bulls fans going up to Milwaukee.
I feel
watch
you.
The Bucks.
I see you, Bulls fans.
Got a lot to get to in this final hour.
What planet are you from, Adam?
Talk about what you love about Adam Hogue for a second.
Adam Hogue is the best Bears beat reporter of all time.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Goodness.
All time.
You're listening to The Beat on 720 WGN.
Indeed you are. Happy Sunday. 5:05 with you for another 55 minutes. Brian Noonan coming up at 6 with his outstanding Sunday evening show. You know by this music, if you've ever listened to the show before, that it's time now for Hogue Headlines. The most unique headlines you'll ever find. Adam Hogue Headlines. You look confused.
Do you remember? Well, that's just a natural look. Do you remember last year around this time during the Olympics, when Ryan Lochte claimed that he had been robbed?
I sure do.
In Brazil.
Great moment. Rokan loved that Lochte story.
Yeah, and then we found out that he didn't get robbed.
No, that he was drunk and crashed into things and lied to the police and tried to get out of town without anybody knowing.
Well, this is from NPR. Almost a year after U.S. swimmer Ryan Lochte fabricated a story about being robbed at gunpoint during the Rio Games, a Brazilian court has dismissed a criminal case against the 12-time Olympic medalist.
Wow.
Lochte had been charged with filing a false robbery, a claim he made to NBC's Matt Lauer. According to the AP, the court this week tossed the case after, quote, determining that Lochte's robbery claim did not constitute the filing of a fake report.
Lochte off the hook. Hashtag go Lochte.
Lochte's lawyer, Jeff Ostrow, said, "We are pleased that the court has finally dismissed the criminal prosecution against Mr. Lochte while also acknowledging that he committed no crime while in Brazil. We are hopeful that the prosecution accepts the court's decision so that this story can finally be put to rest."
Did he pay for what he did as far as whatever damage he caused? Did he dip into the Lochte wallet? Because if he did that and he apologized.
I don't know. Well, didn't sponsors drop out? But it seems like this guy's been everywhere the last year. Wasn't he on like a bunch of reality shows?
He did lose a bunch of dough at the time, but I mean, I don't know. I don't know if Ryan Lochte's finances have turned around. But I'll always know the name, Ryan Lochte. That's your guy.
Why is he my guy?
You just brought him up. You brought
up... This is Hogue's headlines. Doesn't mean everyone I talk about in here is my guy. In fact, most of them probably aren't good.
If it was Carm headlines, I'd be talking about Tim Tebow hitting walk-off bombs. If it was Carm headlines, I'd be talking about like Roger Federer winning number 19, his 8th Wimbledon title.
All right, this guy can be my guy. Guess how many seconds it took a man to solve a Rubik's Cube at the World Championship.
If it was my cousin's...
There's a World Championship, World Cube Association.
If it was my cousin Sam Voltrenbaum, he'd do it in about 14 seconds.
14?
But, yeah. How quick was it?
That sounds really impressive.
How quick was this one?
5.477.
That doesn't seem possible.
Our 40 times were barely better than that when we ran the 40-yard dash.
I think the Rubik's Cube did a lot of damage to me because as a young kid, I could barely get a side to line up. And if you have that much trouble getting, you know, just all white on one side or all yellow or whatever the colors were in Rubik's Cube, you lose confidence in your ability to think. And that's not good for a young man, and I would like to personally start a lawsuit against the Rubik's Cube for taking my scholastic career into the toilet and having me end up at the University of Hartford for a year before I could transfer to Iowa and get my academic career back on track because I finally got over my Rubik's Cube situation.
It all goes back to the Rubik's?
It all goes back to the it goes back to the Cube. I stopped trying because of the Cube. No excuses. This is on me.
That's what you're going with?
But the Rubik's Cube hurt my...
I didn't realize they have different... There's a 3x3x3. There's a 6x6x6 cube. And there's a 7x7x7 cube. A
lot of cubes.
A lot of different cubes. When it came to the... This is from Deadspin. When it came to the classic 3x3x3 cubes, Zemdegs... Wait, what's this guy's first name? He's Australian. Felix Zemdegs, a cube solver from Australia.
Legend.
Missed the podium after a few slow solutions. Max Park came out victorious with an impressive 5.877 seconds alongside Patrick Ponce. Maybe related to Dan.
It always comes down to Dan and Phil Ponce, doesn't it?
It always, yeah, and Anthony.
And Anthony, but yeah.
Who barely edged out his time with 5.477 seconds.
There's some really smart people in the world. Congratulations. I cannot really relate to the ability to do anything of that sort.
Yeah, me neither. You would think base running would be a lot easier, but did you see what Matt Holliday did last night?
Matt Holliday did not see.
This was bizarre. So Matt Holliday, this is the...
Where is Matt Holliday?
Matt Holliday's on the Yankees now. Yeah, Matt Holliday's on the Yankees. He was on first base yesterday, okay? And Jacoby Ellsbury hit a grounder to the first baseman.
Okay.
Okay. So if you're at first base and there's a ground ball in the infield, what do you do?
You run to second base.
Yeah. Well, you're probably out, right? Because they're going to probably throw to second, depending on, you know, most more times than not.
Sure.
Well, for some reason, when the throw was started going towards second base, Matt Holliday just stopped and started running back towards first base.
Okay.
So the throw went to second. Okay. And then back to first to try to turn a double play.
Isn't there a force out? He's out at second?
Right.
Okay.
So he was forced out at second.
Yeah.
But for some reason, he started running back towards first.
Okay.
Where he got to first base at the same time the throw did. So he threw... Matt Holliday slid into first base, feet first, as Jacoby Ellsbury is also reaching first base, the one who hit the ball.
So traffic collision.
And the throw's getting there. So you have the first baseman, you have Matt Holliday, you have Jacoby Ellsbury, and a baseball all meeting at the exact same point at first base at the same time. What happens to the baseball?
It clunks Holliday?
It hits Jacoby Ellsbury and rolls into the outfield, where Ellsbury ran to second base.
It trickled into foul territory went down the right field line?
Kind of both, yeah.
Okay.
Foul territory up the right field line.
Okay, so...
Actually, let me rephrase that. Holliday ran to second on the throw. Ellsbury just stayed at first because he didn't know what the heck was going on. So Matt Holliday
was
runs to second base after running back to first base, and he's out the whole time. And he's standing there on second like he thinks he's safe.
I could...
What world was he living in?
I don't know. I was going to start to say, like, there's some media people in this town that who I love but would do something like that.
Well, so this became a controversy.
No names, by the way.
So the umpires informed Holliday that, sorry, buddy, you're not safe. Go to the dugout. You're out. But the Red Sox were mad, right? Because Holliday's the one that caused the ball. Ellsbury should have been on it first. But they awarded Ellsbury the base. They said there was no interference. So Ellsbury got to stay at first. So the Red Sox played the rest of the game under protest.
Who won the game? I should know this.
I'm not sure. And by the way, this was in the 11th inning.
I'll pull it up for you, Hogan.
Yeah, you're the one who's been looking at scores all day.
I got you. Red Sox and Yankees last night ended with the New York Yankees winning in 16-4-1. So.
Okay, so they didn't score.
The Yankees are good.
They didn't score, so it ended up not really mattering.
And they played 16 innings of baseball.
Yeah.
All right. By the way, if you're just joining the show, the Cubs won today. They were amazing, and the Brewers lost. The Cubs are 4.5 back. Just want to make sure that everybody's up to date.
I'm just going to go with three stories today because we got a lot to get to in this last hour.
Is that it for Hogue
Headlines?
That's
Hogue's Headlines.
All right. Can I give my? I'm going to give my passive aggressive Carm headline then at the end here.
Okay, I like it.
Okay,
your passive aggressive Carm headline.
So huge match yesterday, tennis. And by the way, Lenka Brusova and I are playing this Thursday, the 20th. If that's
who's that?
That are you not following the show? Lenka Brusova is the number three, and she's number three all time in wins in NCAA women's history. And along the McEnroe-Serena comment, I said that I would play anybody who played college tennis as a woman and was over 30, and I would do my best to represent men who did not play in high school, who did not play in college, and I will compete.
You said you'd beat her?
I didn't anticipate that I was going to get Lenka Brusova, number three all-time in wins, but that's who, like...
Who put this together?
I was putting it out on the air, like if you were over 30 and you played college tennis and you don't play every day, let's have a battle of the sexes WGN style. Well, Brett Jackson, who's an engineer here, he's like connected to this. He's like, I got somebody for you. I'm like, yeah, bring her on. Well, she brings on Lenka Brusova.
How does Brett Jackson what?
He's got a sister who knows Lenka, and the next thing you know, I'm taking on like the number three. Female all-time in NCAA wins. I'm hoping to get a game.
And where is this?
We haven't determined a location yet. I don't want to.
And it's Thursday?
It's supposed to be Thursday. She's coming into town.
You should move it. I can't go Thursday.
Well, there'll be video. But so...
There better be video.
Okay, so yesterday in the Shoreline League, I got a match. We started our match. So two middle-aged... women come on the court next to us, which normally when you have like a league match, like you take up all the courts, but one of the courts defaulted. So we have, you know, a couple of people who are taking advantage of the courts open. They're playing cool. So they're warming up right at the service line and they are talking incredibly loud just about life and whatnot. And so I'm in this match. I care about winning. This dude cares about winning. I want to tell him can you please be quiet? You know, or keep it down. This is a league match here. But I feel guilty saying something. So passive-aggressive Carm, I say nothing. Now I get an overhead at the net. I spike the overhead. It lands on the court, bounds over the back fence. Now I got to go get the ball after the game is over. So they're warming up. I walk past her, go out, get the ball, and then I come back in. They're still warming up. I walk past her. She stops me and says... Hey, don't walk on the court when we're playing. And I said, oh, I just thought you were warming up. She's like, well, we are, but that doesn't matter. And so then I jumped into that. I'm like, okay, well, if you could just please keep it down because we're playing a serious match over in the Shoreline League. This is at the Carm, by the way, on Twitter. And your voice level has been bothering me, but I wasn't going to say anything. But since you jumped into this, I would like to just put it out there that we can both be better teammates. She didn't say anything to me. They didn't talk the rest of the match. I played my match, and that was the end of that one.
Did you win?
I did win.
Nice.
I was down four.
So she shut her mouth.
She shut her mouth after, and well.
And you didn't walk on her court anymore.
I didn't walk on her court, and I got them when their balls came out of our court.
And you won.
And I won.
It was, so everybody's happy.
Right, but I could have said something originally, and I just was afraid to. So that's the passive-aggressive part. And so if she hadn't accosted me about walking on her court, which I maybe would have been a little bit more discreet doing if they hadn't been so loud, then none of that would have all happened.
Did she, like, walk in the middle of their court?
No, I walk behind her.
So how else are you supposed to walk?
Well, you're supposed to wait for the point to be over, and then you're supposed to...
Oh, they were hitting the ball?
Yeah, but okay, you're warming up. Like, you're not actually playing.
Yeah.
But I get it. I get
it. Yeah.
I was. She didn't understand that I was an upper-level tennis guy. I was going to take on Lenka Brusova, and right. I was able to determine this is warm-ups, and I wouldn't do it if it was a match, but you two are just clearly warming up.
Yeah, she should have had more respect for At the Carn.
Right.
Who everybody knows is a tennis superstar.
Exactly, like Roger, who won his 19th today.
Yeah, maybe just a small notch below Roger.
Just a notch below. 312-981-7200. Bob Nightingale's coming up at the bottom of the hour. He's baseball writer extraordinaire. And what do you want to do next?
Well, I have a question. Why should I care about this fight Mayweather and McGregor?
Oh, I think you should care. I think it's actually super interesting. We can talk about that coming back here. And
I want to know why you think it's interesting.
Okay. 720 WGN. Tweet from our guy, Kevin Powell, at KPowell720. White Sox were clearly interested to see what Q did today. Both Rick Renteria and Derek Holland brought him up in postgame talk. 7 innings, 12 strikeouts, didn't walk anybody, 1-0 as a Cub, ERA of 0.00 on the way to leading the Cubs to a back-to-back World Series. Right?
Right.
Okay, you want to talk? You want to get a baseball call and then talk McGregor and Mayweather?
Well, why are you interested in the fight?
I'm interested because it's Conor McGregor's never been in a boxing match in his life.
Yes.
And if you watch him in the UFC and at MMA, he's a complete lunatic, and he's also, I don't think I'm going over the top here, just he's made a lot of racist comments.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see him. It's a little bit hard for me to root for Floyd Mayweather because he's not exactly a prince either. So I kind of want to see him get whipped by somebody in the boxing ring because this is not what he does. Like somebody that arrogant who thinks they can walk into someone else's room and take him out at what they do. I mean, it's just crazy.
So, but it's going to take a domestic serial domestic abuser to do that. So that's exactly my point. Here's this fight, okay? This is literally the fight. It's a horrible person who repeatedly beats women.
Yeah.
Versus
another horrible person.
Another horrible person who has no chance of winning the fight.
I don't know if he has no chance.
So why do I care? And it's a corrupt sport.
Yeah,
which that fight last week proved that I didn't see, but I read all about it because no one agreed that it was like, and basically the boxing's
sure.
Anybody who's involved with boxing was like, yeah, this was totally fraud.
Boxing's always been corrupt.
But and you have to pay $100 to watch it.
Yeah, I won't pay it.
So what am I missing here? What is the thing that everyone cares about?
Well, there's a reason why they had 4 press conferences this week. People are just entertained watching the two of them talk.
But what does that say about our society, then?
We've had plenty of evidence around that.
But I know that. But how could there be?
All it really
and
says.
And how much is Floyd getting out of this?
All it really says.
How many million dollars?
They're both hoping to get over $100 million each.
Over $100 million.
Floyd apparently owes the IRS about $22 million. And he claims he has it, but is not.
How does he owe the IRS $22 million, by the way?
I don't know.
When he's making that much per fight.
I don't understand how so many guys who get to that level. Well, I do understand it. They,
what are we doing?
15 cars and have 17 houses and end up getting in multiple divorces and then they blow all their dough. I mean, it's sad.
But what are we doing here?
What are we doing? We're trying to be entertained. Do you understand how much of a premium we put on entertainment? People complain about what athletes make. Well, because we all go to games and watch it on TV and commercials and everything. We create it. And we're creating Mayweather and McGregor. People, we love to be entertained. We don't want to sit here.
I don't know. I guess my point is I don't find any of this entertaining. I don't find racist press conferences entertaining.
Now you're down a whole deep dark road.
Am I though? That's what this is all about. They had 4 press conferences this week that were just filthy, full of hate, fueling more.
But if you're
trolling and horrible, more bullying in society, like there's nothing good about this.
Okay, you covered.
Give me one good thing that's good about this.
You covered,
other than entertainment. It's bad entertainment. That's my point.
If Conor McGregor. The chance of him landing a punch and knocking out Floyd Mayweather, that is enough to get people to watch. And what you're and I listen,
There's
I
no
I,
chance that
I,
happens.
I don't think
the fight will last as long as Floyd Mayweather wants it to last.
But Floyd Mayweather has not knocked anybody out since like 2003
because that's his choice.
Well, that's how he's.
I remember
he's a technician.
What was the last fight he did? The last big fight. I made the mistake of going over, and
Pacquiao.
the only reason I went. Was because my buddy was having a bunch of people over I hadn't seen in a long time, and I went over there and I spent the whole time complaining about it. I'm like, this is so dumb. We could have all hung out without this being on TV. The guy's dancing around in circles, he won.
But that's
it was the most boring. How long did it last? It was so boring.
But that's another thing. People like to have a reason to get together. Hey, you want to come?
Okay, but that was my point. We could have all gotten together without this stupid fight being on that you paid $100 for. Oh, by the way, I'm not chipping in for it.
Okay, that's wrong. If you were there, you should have chipped in. Secondly, yes, we all could get together, but we don't, and this creates an opportunity to do so. It gives you the lamp. I mean, some people, they have a Super Bowl party every year.
Hey, you can come over and watch Quintana pitch on Saturday.
Okay.
Okay? It's going up against the Cardinals.
You just went down a road, though, of like you only want to root for things that are moral. And
no, that's not necessarily true. I mean, we had this.
Like Aroldis Chapman, an NFL team.
Right, I know, there's bad guys in sports.
Right.
Okay,
so,
but my point is this is not a baseball season that happens every year.
No, it's one
event.
This
is a manufactured event that is coming from, and I understand, it's capitalism. It's a bit, you know, there's this many people are going to pay for it that they have over $100 million to pay the winner. I get it. But that's sort of my grander point here is like, apparently I'm all off on this island where I don't understand why anybody should care about this.
Well, I think you have a better point. Like, at what point do we draw a line when you have two people who are morally reprehensible? At what point will the entertainment sports public not willingly consume something like that? Because apparently there just isn't any line. We don't care.
I guess that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, that's the interesting. Well, it's interesting, but it's also like just been proven over and over again. We don't care. We have no morals when it comes to being entertained sports wise. None. Zero. Please just entertain me. Let's go watch Mayweather and McGregor. Or maybe we're, you know, comfortably uninformed. But we just don't. You want to take a baseball call now?
Sure. What's up, Kenny?
Kenny, what's up?
Adam and Mark, you guys have a great show, especially when you talk UFC boxing. actually, I think, Mark, I think Floyd Mayweather, is that his name? Yeah. He's going to make himself $200 million, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
The moneymaker, baby.
It's just
crazy. Well, you know, he's right up in the same tax bracket as I am, so I know about these things.
Way to go, Kenny.
Nice.
Well, anyways, the Bunny Hutch, you referenced it in the previous half hour. I grew up three blocks from the Bunny Hutch. Fantastic place. Ice cream. Miniature golf, uh-huh. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
And not only that, but the temple that I went to was right across the street. So during the high holy days, Mark, you know about this, and Adam, you know about this too, I believe.
Hoag's an underrated Jew.
Used to park.
Very underrated.
Park in their parking lot during the high holy days because our parking lot was closed.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you'd sneak out of services and go over and take BP, Kenny. That would have been interesting.
I like that.
Believe me, I need all the help I can get. At times I probably should have. But let me get back to what you were talking about also about the Cubs. Last Sunday, I went to that debacle, okay? I took my daughter. We sat in the bleachers. She sat in the bleachers for the first time. She says, Dad, I'm spoiled. I've never sat here before. Well, before we even sat down, Josh Harrison gets a base hit to lead off the game. 10-run score, as you well know. I can never remember in my Cub career of going to games, which entails many, many games, as Mark knows. I don't ever remember seeing a 10-run spot put up on the board in the top of the first inning. I've seen other teams, you know, visiting teams score 10 runs, maybe like in the third, the fifth, or the eighth inning, but never in the first inning. But I want you to know, we stayed the entire game.
Of course okay? You did, Kenny. Of course you of did. Course I would have been. What's your overriding point here, Kenny T?
Well, the overriding point is that compared to last Sunday, how I feel now about the Cubs.
There we go.
Getting Quintana. I mean, the Quintana gave me a bump up, of course, getting him. And then today, sweeping the Orioles, I am.
So you're, Kenny, you're calling in to tell me that you completely agree with me on my swing of emotions and you're on board and you understand and that Hoag should get with the program. That's what's going on?
Exactly.
Thank
you. Guys have a fine program, but Adam, get with the program.
Thanks,
okay?
Thanks, Kenny.
This is how we feel.
Yeah, yeah. Which is actually what I've been telling you is how you feel. You're the one who didn't know how you feel. I'm not talking to you anymore, Kenny. I'm talking to Carm. I've been trying to tell Carm that he doesn't know how he feels. I've been trying to tell him since last November that you absolutely will be living and dying by every pitch in July. Trust me.
And
sure enough, you are. So you get with the program.
I appreciate you bringing my feelings to light, and I completely agree that you were correct, that I thought that I would be this content Cubs won the World Series guy, and that is not how it worked out, and you were right, and I appreciate your vision, and it was something that I was lacking, and again, thank you to you, Adam Hoge. How's that? We good?
Yeah. Hey, let's go to the...
to the newsroom?
The White Sox-Cubs game on Monday, the 24th.
That's a day game, right?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I just realized
that. I'd rather go to a night game because I work during the day. Let's go to a night game on the south
well,
side.
Well, they don't have any. Well, I got. Sorry. Bears training camp starts.
All right, I'll have to get off work. I'll do my best.
Jose Quintana makes his Cub debut. Swing and a miss. So his first out recorded as a Cub is a strikeout. Ball will end up in the dugout. Swing and a miss. He's got 10. Number 100, ground ball, can they turn two? Bryant, Russell, Rizzo, seven shutout for Jose Quintana.
Quite a debut, can't do it any better. Seven innings, 12 strikeouts. ERA after one game as a Cub, 0.00, and he's 1-0 as the Cubs walloped the Orioles, sweeping the three-game set, now one game over 500. I'm Mark Harmon. He is Adam Hoge. This is 720 WGN. Bob Nightingale covers baseball like nobody else, baby. USA Today, MLB Network Insider, been on the program a ton and joining us now. Bob, you're on the inside of these things a ton, but judging by this one, nobody knew that Jose Quintana was going to end up in Chicago except for Wet Butt 23 and Katy Perry's Booty Hole. I'm assuming that those are not your names on Reddit. So were you stunned that the Cubs and Sox got together and made a deal?
You know, I wasn't stunned. I was surprised. But it made, you know, perfect sense. I mean, here's the Cubs. They went after a bunch of starters, you know, former Detroit, you know, Chris Archer, Sonny Gray. And it was a perfect fit. And obviously the White Sox could not find the right deal because they've had this guy out on the market for 7 months. And, you know, finally got a good offer. The Yankees were right there. The Brewers were right there. As long as, you know, I'm sure as long as White Sox fans don't mind that this guy's going to help in the playoffs. You know, if he wins Game 7 of the World Series, it might be a little bit different story. But then again, you know, 3, 4, 5 years down the road, the Cubs fans will have to see these two top prospects, you know, maybe excel with the White Sox.
Bob, what was your sense for the market for Quintana the last couple weeks? And is it possible that interest shown from teams like the Brewers, especially the Brewers because they're in the same division as the Cubs, but also teams like the Braves, that kind of stuff's been out there the last few days. What kind of impact do you think that had on this deal getting done and maybe pushing the Cubs a little bit to do it now?
You know, I'm not sure that had as much influence as the Cubs not being able to get any traction, you know, trying to grab a former, you know, and to get a former from Detroit. Hey, you know, let's be honest, that's probably going to cost you, a half, Almora, a Baez, something like that. Maybe two of those guys, you know, Steve Price. Gerrit Cole wasn't going to be dealt. It was Chris Archer. So they kind of ran out of names as far as controllable guys. And I think it even surprised Theo a little bit. Like, okay, hey, White Sox will treat us like any other team, and we'll go from there. So I thought it was a perfect fit. The guy's under contract through 2020. He's a number two starter in the American League, which makes you a number one starter in the National League. And certainly, you know, the guys, Arrieta, Lester, Lackey, can tell you the difference between the leagues. They're just night and day for a pitcher.
Talking to Bob Nightingale right now on the beat. Earlier today, Bob, you tweeted the Red Sox are moving closer to acquiring White Sox third baseman Todd Frazier. It will be interesting if Boston can get David Robertson as a setup man in a package. What are you hearing the latest on Frazier? And maybe if Robertson can be included, the Sox potentially bringing in more of a haul, because I don't know how much they're actually going to get just for Frazier at this point.
Yeah, Frazier makes a lot of money, and obviously he isn't having the year that they thought. So you're not going to get much for him. Robertson, hey, his value has increased since since the season started. So I think you get a nice little haul for him. You know, what hurts the White Sox a little bit is so many relievers are being available right now. Mm-hmm. You know, Orioles, the Marlins, on and on. So that part hurts. But they should get a prize prospect, at least a top five guy, for Robertson. And, you know, the one thing you know is that Dave Dombrowski has had great dealings with the White Sox over the years. He makes more deals with the White Sox than anybody. And so it's just a natural fit.
Bob Nightingale, MLB insider here with us on 720 WGN. So there's a rumor out this week, too, Bob, about Kyle Schwarber going to Detroit for one of their young starting pitchers, Michael Fulmer, who's not that exciting to Cubs fans, Daniel Norris. Could you see the Tigers and the Cubs getting together on something like that? And I don't know, maybe that's less likely now with the Quintana deal, but what were you hearing about those rumors?
Well, that they inquired. It was about Fulmer, not Norris. You're like, okay. I think the discussions was, you know, what would it take to get a Fulmer, you know, an all-star pitcher who's not making any money and, you know, young and control for 4 years. And I think the Tigers kind of came back while saying, you know, hey, it's going to take a whole lot more Schwarber. You know, the guy's sitting at 170. It's going to take more than Addison Russell. You know, maybe it'll take a Baez or an Almora. And then some, you know, a 2-for-1 or 3-for-1. High price tag. You don't blame the Tigers because it's tough to get a young pitcher like that who's a stud, who's not making money. You know, it's, you know, and as the Cubs said, you know, we can't sell Schwarber right now or Addison Russell right now because they're both having off years. You know, you're not going to trade these guys at the lowest trade value.
Yeah, that's a good point. Bob, what do you think the Cubs are going to do the rest of this month? Are they done? Are they going to still look for pitching? Are they going to try to see this play out another week or so to make that type of decision? Do you think the Cubs are done at this point?
I think they'll make a move, maybe like an old Tinker move, where you get maybe a bat off the bench, a reliever. But I don't buy the Sonny Gray at all. Yeah. I mean, you're not going to get Sonny Gray unless you tear up the Major League team. I mean, then you're talking about, you know, say a Schwarber and Almora or, you know, Happ, it's going to cost you a stud. I don't see that happening, you know, particularly because of what Quintana did. And you can always grab another starter in the offseason no matter what happens.
Bob Nightingale at B Nightingale on Twitter if you would like to follow his coverage of all of MLB. So your last tweet, Bob, you got the Astros magic number is 55. And so everybody's got this Astros-Dodgers World Series at least written in pencil. I think Cub fans would like to at least dispute that to a point. But are you looking at it like those two are head and shoulders the best two teams in baseball?
Well, you know, regular season's different. You know, it's like, hey, Astros are very good. They remind you so much of the Cubs a year ago. Almost a carbon copy with the young talent, likable guys, great personalities. But just like the Cubs a year ago, they could use one more, you know, pitch at the back end, which was Aroldis Chapman. And I think the Houston Astros, they could use one more starter to get them to the finish line. You know, hey, Dodgers have been in this position. They've won a four straight division titles. This would be the fifth straight. But they haven't been in the World Series since 1988. I think they need another starter, too. And you got Alex Wood and Kershaw. You know, you're not sure quite what's behind it. So you still have the Washington Nationals, who just picked up two good relievers today. I know they never won a postseason series, but a very, very scary team. And I would think the scary team in the American League with the Astros, but, you know, would be the Boston Red Sox. You know, if you got to face Chris Sale and David Price and Rick Porcello, 1-2-3, that's tough.
Bob, you're usually pretty dialed in with the White Sox. When we talk about what's next, I mean, the easy questions are Robertson and Frazier, which we just talked about, but the harder question to me, and the one I can't really seem to get a definitive pulse on, is a guy like Jose Abreu. I mean, do they envision him being part of the team when they, you know, turn this around and are good again in a few years? Or is he one of the assets that they still have that could bring in a big haul? Because to me, that's a big question in this whole sequence of what appear to be great moves by Rick Hahn.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's certainly available. I think he's more of an off-season acquisition, not now. Okay. You know, because he's got, you know, a few years left in the contract, you know, big money. You know, same with Abisel Garcia. I think Garcia is very available. But, you know, it's got to be, you know, a steep price tag. If someone's willing to pay it, you know, go ahead and move it. You know, Melky Cabrera, you know, I think they would get, you know, give away him for just a, you know, a decent prospect. But the other two guys, they certainly want more in return.
All right, Bob, just end of the day here on the Cubs-White Sox deal. Who do you think will come out the winner in the end, or is this going to be a tie? The White Sox are going to win a World Series with Eloy and company, and the Cubs are going to get one with Quintana.
You know, I think it was a great trade for both sides. You know, I know they'll win a World Series, but, you know, the Cubs need some pitching. I mean, they're not going to re-sign Arrieta. You know, John Lackey's gone. They need some help. This is a perfect guy. You know, like I said, if you can dominate in the American League, you're going to be lights out in the National League. It's just a different animal without the DH and everything else. And, you know, hey, the White Sox got, you know, two top guys of the four that should help them in the future. So, yeah, who knows? You know, Joe Toronto, it's maybe 2020, you know, we have a Red Line World Series.
You'll be here to cover it, Bob.
Yeah, I love being there. So, yeah, of course I'll be there.
All right. Bob, appreciate you jumping on as always. Thanks for the time.
All right, my pleasure. Thank you.
Bob Nightingale, USA Today, MLB insider, joining us here on 720 WGN. Everybody says the same thing. Great trade for everybody. It's kind of boring. But it's true.
No one hates it.
Boring but true.
Doesn't
the trade itself isn't boring. I'm just saying that everyone has the exact same take.
Well, it just made sense the whole time.
Right.
That's why we
right.
kept talking about it, even though the GMs kept shooting it down.
Right. Listening to him talk there, he's just naming all these teams that need pitching, and you look what the Cubs gave up, and yes, it was significant, but I'm kind of surprised that the Cubs were the one that was able to get Quintana. Like, if you're the White Sox, I understand they were willing to do a deal with the Cubs, but ideally, maybe you get as good of a package from somebody else and you don't help the Cubs. Like, in an ideal world, I would think that would be the case. Like, if you could get the same package from the Yankees.
I just don't understand why that matters. Like, they already won the World Series.
You're competing for real estate in the city.
You're already losing by a lot. Can it get worse?
Not right now, no, it can't. But
right, so you might as well bring in Eloy Jimenez.
Sure. I'm just saying, if it was equal, which I know is never the case. Like prospect,
yeah.
They don't. But
it just
okay. All right. I don't want to make you feel gross over there.
All right.
So yes.
Before we get out of here, okay. We got to give away these tickets to Adler After Dark.
Okay.
So we'll do that in our final segment coming up, and I want to get this story in too from Teddy Green's. Stein on the back page of the Tribune today.
Teddy's on to something.
The Bucks have this beautiful new stadium that is being built in Milwaukee.
And Giannis Antetokounmpo.
And I've said this before on the show. I can get to Miller Park faster than I can get to Wrigley Field.
Yeah, you
or the Cell.
You live in Vernon Hills. You might as well be in Wisconsin.
So
you should become a season ticket holder of the Bucks. We can discuss this coming back and give away tickets.
Let's do it.
All right. 720 WGN. WGN, Brian Noonan warming up at the bullpen. He'll be here in 10 minutes. Roger Badish set to take over the news at 6 o'clock. We have tickets to give away to you.
Yeah, 312-981-7200 is a four-pack of tickets, one pack of four tickets, I should say, to the sold-out Adler After Dark this Thursday at Adler Planetarium. I'm going to be there. We're having a sports and space discussion. Really cool. We're going to talk about a bunch of different stuff, like how far MJ could dunk in space and how far you can hit a golf ball in space. Why it's so much easier to hit home runs in Denver, Colorado, things like that. So it's going to be a really cool discussion. It's a adult-only night.
Is there food?
There's food. There's drinks. There's exhibits.
There's
you get
Hulk.
To see the whole museum. My part's only really small. We're going to be talking at 8:30 for about a half hour. It's called Jump Higher, Fly Farther, Sports on Earth and Beyond. That's just our discussion. But there's going to be a ton of going on. If you've ever been to the Adler Planetarium, it's great. So
I used to think that the Adler Plantarium was plants and not planetarium.
No, it's planetarium.
Going there and see plants? That doesn't sound like fun.
It's not a plantarium. It's a planet.
Planetarium, right. Outer space. I get it.
So anyway, here's how you can win these tickets. 312-981-7200 right now. Answer this question. What was the last trade between the Cubs and White Sox? You have to name the three players who were involved in the trade. What was the last trade between the Cubs and the White Sox? It happened in 2006.
It happened in 2006.
Name the three players.
Four tickets.
So we'll let you guys call in right now.
With a huge clue right there, giving the year.
Well, not to make it that hard.
It's a very hard question to choose throughout there. I mean, I wouldn't know it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm an expert in baseball and things because I read about it, but I wouldn't be able to pull it just driving around. Let's see. How are we doing here? Zach, last trade, Cubs, White Sox, for four tickets to the Planetarium.
It was Neil Kopp.
Uh-huh.
You got to name all three players.
It was Neil Kotz and David Erasma and Carl Vasquez.
Way to go, Zach. You're a stud.
Nice Googling.
Did you Google that, Zach?
Oh, yeah.
You did?
You couldn't.
Hey, was that part of the rules or what?
No, that's fine.
You Googled it and called in, Zach. Are you willing to take these tickets? I think that's an integrity issue.
Well,
right.
First of all, can you go on Thursday night?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
All right,
good enough. You cheated and won.
Well, I cheated by coming up with the question.
That's different. We're holding Zach to a higher level. All right, Zach, hang on. You talk to Dan Long. We can't have that. We're on a level of Mayweather and McGregor.
How would anyone come up with Carlos Vasquez without Googling it?
Yeah, then we shouldn't ask a question where it has to be Carlos Vasquez. Too difficult.
Okay, then take the blame.
Name one.
Then stop blaming Zach. Take the blame.
Zach, it was our fault. Congratulations.
Thank you.
But you came up with that. All right.
You okayed it.
I'm part of the show. I own 100% of my fault. 100%.
Yeah, it's none of it's zero. It's my fault.
No problem.
It's all your fault.
No problem.
Anyway, this is going to be
fun
Thursday night.
That's the spirit of our games down here, Googling it and coming up with the answer.
Zach, come say hi.
These well-thought-out games.
On Thursday night, it'll be fun.
All right. What do you got on the Bucks?
Well, so this is an interesting story from Teddy Greenstein.
Great piece by Teddy.
Back page. It's about this brand-new stadium. I saw what's there right now. It's not going to open until 2018, but it's in Milwaukee. Downtown Milwaukee's great now. Actually, my wife's there right now. She went up for the day.
What's up, Krista? I know you're listening in Milwaukee. You love the show.
But so the question is, the Bucks president said, how do we let Illinois residents know we have a world-class arena? So basically, the Bucks are eyeing residents from Illinois to mm-hmm. come check out the new stadium when it opens. And Teddy Greenstein says it seems like a stretch until one considers, and he lists off a bunch of factors, a lot of which I agree with. In full disclosure, I live in Vernon Hills now, Northern Burbs.
Right.
Okay. And with traffic, I can get to Milwaukee faster than Chicago in rush hour. There's no question about it. That's one of the factors Teddy brings up is time. On a recent late afternoon, the trafficologists at Google Map estimated that it would take 1 hour and 18 minutes to drive the 31.2 miles from Lake Forest to the United Center. The 63.4 mile jaunt to Milwaukee could be covered in 1 hour and 6 minutes. So it's double the distance, faster drive.
I went up and saw the Cubs play at Miller Park this year. I went to the Bradley Center and saw the Bucks play. I forget who I saw. It was not the Bulls earlier during the NBA season. I probably go up every year and do the same thing. Milwaukee is cheaper.
That's the next thing Teddy lists. Cost.
Yep.
Suffice to say, fans will pay less than at the United Center, which has the NBA's fifth highest average ticket. Barry Baum, Senior Vice President of Communications, says that half of the Bucks tickets will be $50 or less.
That's good, but if they're getting a new arena and the cheapest seats up top are going to be around $50, it's too much. Like, your up top seats should be closer to $20.
Well, you should hear about the design of the new stadium.
Yeah, I know they got a sweet
design. Teddy's got you loaded here. Because that would be the first thing I would think of. Part of the reason why I don't like going to Bulls games is because the only tickets I'm willing to pay for are way up in outer space.
Right, the Bucks Arena, it's supposedly you hover, and you're closer to the court, and it's not as big.
17.5, it's 17,500
compared to 21.
Capacity, so it's smaller, but 10,000 of those seats are going to be in the lower bowl.
That's
usually there's more up.
Right.
That's how they get the bigger capacity. they designed this in a way that most of the seats are going to be on the lower bowl.
That's nice, and especially if the upper bowl is hanging over. To me, that's huge. Like, at the United Center, the problem is it goes back and back and back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're just
no, they specifically designed this so that you don't feel like you're sitting in outer space.
Right.
And then the last thing is, hey, look, man, the Bucks are...
The Bucks are better than the Bulls.
The Bucks are better, they're coming faster, and the Bulls are going the opposite direction here.
Right. And there's just a... The Bulls are working on it right now, but there's just been a lot of dysfunction. So I think Bulls fans are, in general, disgusted. That's has an opportunity to change, but it's got a long way to go. Brian Noonan walking in the studio, his show coming up in 2.5 minutes. I'm in.
Well, if for a person like me, if you just ask me, okay, the Bulls and Bucks are playing tonight. Do you want to go to the game? My immediate question would be, is the game in Milwaukee or Chicago? And that would determine my answer. And if it's in Milwaukee, I would go.
That kind of hurts me deep down somewhere inside, but I hear what you're saying.
Makes more sense.
I love going up to Milwaukee. I'm a fan, but I do live here, and I love the Bulls, and I love going to the UC.
Bulls.
And I look forward to the future being a lot better than the last couple of years.